what the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
The difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take a genetic editing,
right.
Just as an example. It's you who are changed, yeah, and of course this has a big impact on your identity.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Thursday, October 14th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. It's going to be a little bit of a smaller show. I'm actually laughing in real time as I just said that yesterday and ended up being over 2 hours. But I mean it. I swear I mean it when I actually say that. It's meant to be a shorter show today. See if we can get through it in a short period of time. But there's focus topics today. I had Jimmy Dore on yesterday, which I'm going to point to when we start the show today. I'm also having Ben Swan on tomorrow. Very important interviews that I want to make sure everybody sees. So today is sort of on a surface level to a degree, at least surface level for TLAV viewers of a lot of the topics we've gone over and some specific insights into things that I think you're going to find very important around the Great Reset, technocratic direction, nanotechnology, both in regard to injections, but also masks. Something, by the way, that if you posted right now, the reason I use the image I did on today's show, if you just use the term nanoworms anywhere, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist, despite the fact that it's been researched for decades and despite the fact that it's currently being argued to be used on your mask right now. But it's fake news because that's the air of today. Anything that they've deemed even remotely outside the narrative is reflexively fake news, even if you can literally prove that it's happening. That's fantastic. But we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how you're not being treated because they claim you're dangerous because you're unvaccinated, despite the fact that that challenges violates what the FDA says is happening, their Hippocratic Oath, and numerous other things, immorals, integrity, you know, all the things we've talked about. But we're also going to get into the obvious reality of how the things they're doing aren't working, which we've shown you many times, including the fact that the Comirnaty, what's the way that they've been saying it? Now I'm blanking on it. It's Comirnaty, something like that. Something very interesting. We're going to talk about that today in regard to how what we've been telling you has been backed up by more research. This is from Epoch Times doing this coverage on how it's not available anywhere, despite the fact that they're using this whole push that it's been approved to justify why businesses are allowed to force this, even though that's not even the case, or to give them some kind of air cover for why they should be doing it or why we're going to do it because they say we can. None of that makes any sense if what they're saying is approved is not even available right now. That's pretty incredible. But that's just one more example of a dishonest sidestep, hypocritical contradiction. I mean, all these things we've been seeing from the very beginning. Now, we're also going to get into an interesting kind of pushback from a group that you wouldn't expect in the tech community, nonetheless, saying that we're not going to force anybody to do any of this stuff. You're going to be pretty interested to hear who that is, going over some more side effects and negative things that are happening. And as well as on top of the side effect discussion, how Pfizer's blood clot pill, we actually mentioned this before, but we're going to focus on it a little bit more, is suddenly doing really well. I wonder why. It's not like we have seen a rapid increase of blood clots and heart problems and all these, none of that. Obviously, there's a correlation here that we're going to make clear that with the increase of thrombosis and blood clots and everything else, it's of course, Pfizer's drug is also doing well. And you could argue many things around that. We're going to finish today, starting and finishing with a technocratic arch over the show today of something that you are going to be really unnerved about, something that I actually had to make sure I wasn't being deceived about. And this is that they are not only doing this, we know they're making nanotechnology, nanoworms, nanobots, all these things to improve your life, they say. But the fact that it's being argued right now in real time that we should be spraying this on your masks is absolutely comical because of how interesting this conversation, the flow of information has been around masks specifically. There have been people pointing this out from the beginning. What are these weird black things on these masks? I've never been able to prove it. That's why I haven't dove in too deep, or at least on the show. But there's been a lot of conversation about what they're seeing on these masks. Are these nanobots, and even the term nanoworms have been used before this. So you'll find this very revealing, even though it, of course, will be dismissed, like everything else that they don't want to see. But to start off, I wanted to show you a couple things. Two things, in fact, that I just put out on Twitter that I think you'll appreciate. For those that have already been watching and seen the last couple of shows, I've played one of my songs on the way out. I'm going to be most likely be playing these on the 24th here in Franklin. But I wanted to put them out there for you guys to see. They're on SoundCloud, excuse me, but they're also copyrighted elsewhere and so on. This is for people to play it and be able to download it, have a copy, be able to share it. One of them is called Money Game. The other one is called American Dream. Both songs that I'm very, very proud of and songs that mean a lot to me that are just shockingly relevant to where we are right now that I wrote both long, long before we got here. Interesting. But to start off, I want to give a shout out to a great interview I just had with Jimmy Dore. And I mean, there's been a lot of comments from people sort of recognizing the fact that this was an interview for me that was meant to let him have the time to open up about what has happened and why, as we've all seen, he has shifted his opinion. And that's a good thing, right? But there's a lot of people out there that I see shifting opinions in ways that are becoming acceptable because it's now acceptable. That's not what I see Jimmy doing at the moment. He's going into conversations that are no-no conversations, according to YouTube and everywhere else. So I just wanted to give some props to that, because regardless of how long it takes somebody to see something or to recognize something or get to the point, if they are doing so with good intentions, which is what this appears to me, based on where he is currently in this conversation, and they're doing so in a way that's on the cutting edge of the information, at least trying to be, then that's worthy of props. And so at this point, I'm hoping he continues down this path. We had a great conversation. And the point was, a lot of 90% of what we were talking about were things that you know we've already covered on this show. And that the point was not for me to interject every 30 seconds and be like, yeah, we talked about that. Yes, I know that. The point was to let him walk through his experience. And you will recognize if you watch this interview that he spoke with some very real candor that I haven't seen anywhere else from him discussing this stuff, going into how he got the injection and how he felt like he was lied to and how he still is dealing with problems. I mean, everything. And he admitted right in the beginning that he didn't want to really dig into the story because he felt like it was undermining his decision to be injected. And I relayed to my personal notes and I said my father went through the same situation and still is to some degree. You know, a lot of people are there. But nonetheless, he has now come to where this is happening and he's calling this stuff out. So that's fantastic. But watch it for yourself and recognize that a lot of people are starting to wake up to this and are going to join this fight. As long as they do it in a way that is objective and not two-party politics, then it's doing well. So that's one thing I'm worried about with where this goes. A lot of the audience here is very partisan. So we need to make sure we do not do this in a partisan way. Otherwise, we will lose the momentum. Very good interview, though. Now, one point we made in this that we talked about that I thought was really interesting, and I shared this with him. He actually, and this is another point that a lot of people really liked, and I did also appreciate it, that I brought up the Great Reset. I brought up the technocratic angle of this, and instead of, you know, kind of talking about it as if he knew or, you know, whatever else, he pretty much was like, you know, I don't really know. What do you think about it? And I thought that was fantastic. That's the kind of answer you get from somebody that is not afraid to be like, hey, I don't know. That's great. I don't know, you know, whether this is, I don't know, it doesn't even matter. The point is that we talked about this, and he didn't know about the Great Reset really fully and everything. And I brought this conversation up about which you all know. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing. I have no privacy, but life has never been better. That's the World Economic Forum. This is still up on their Twitter page. So I brought this up to make a point about where this is all going and how this has been driven long before we got here. And this is really interesting because I wanted to tell him about this because I told him I'd send it afterward. And I went to click on the link. And guess what? Guess what? They took the page down. I mean, this is becoming comical to me how not only is there this revisionist kind of, you know, this editing history in real time kind of COVID-19, or it's everything around this, but it's happened long before we got to COVID-19. But it has gotten crazy since COVID-19 clown world began, where they'll be we've seen changing vaccine definitions, herd immunity definition, changing everything they can in real time and then changing it back if they get caught and deleting documentation. WHO articles where they're calling out the CDC suddenly disappear, right? It's really crazy. But guess what? We have archives of all of it. But I thought it was worth pointing out to start. Technocratic conversation, the Great Reset. We're going to begin with points. everything in between it will be relevant to that. And we're going to end with that nano worm technology conversation and finish off with more of where this is going. But here's the article for those that didn't know. For maybe hit Jimmy's audience that I mentioned, they haven't seen it yet. This is an important article. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. That now apparently they deleted because why? I mean, that's really, really telling to me because they got a lot of negative attention about this. And you want to know why? Because it was published in 2016, guys. 2016. That this has become right now in COVID world, they're going, wait a minute. Well, that's pretty scary because all these crazy conspiracy theorists we're told are crazy conspiracy theorists are telling us this is what you're trying to build right now. And we say fake news, but here's your article from 2016, literally laying that out before we got here. I wonder why they deleted that. But here are some other things that are floating around. Here's an image of the World Economic Forum video that's still up on their Facebook page where it says the same thing. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. They keep telling you that. Whatever you want, you'll rent and it'll be delivered by drone. But ask yourself this, guys, if you're renting it, therefore somebody must own it. But not you, though. None of you dumb peons at the bottom that are just doing what you're told and renting things and going about your day. No, they're owned by the powerful people that are part of the Economic Forum. They own everything. So I guess they don't exist in this free, happy world that everyone lives in. They must be really unhappy as they own everything and do whatever they want. Yeah, it's absurd to act like this is a step in the right direction. This is a rapid, aggressive consolidation of power under the guise of doing what's best for the world. Even though every single time in the past they've put forward things like this that are best for the world, it ends up doing the exact opposite, like GMOs, like any number of things we've gone off on 1,000 times over. India and other locations are right now telling you that. Didn't work. We are far more scarce in regard to food than we ever were before they pushed this on us, or any number of other things in regard to farming and the way they're trying to normalize the get farmers all around the world and other locations to do things the way they want them to do. Here, use our seeds. Meanwhile, you're destroying the way that the entire agricultural system has been functioning for living memory. And you can look back and recognize how much worse it has gotten since then. I'm sure they'll have plenty of excuses why. Regardless, as we keep looking at this little clip, this is where it's going. The U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower. Doesn't that seem relevant right now? A handful of countries will dominate. Right. You mean like the public-private partnerships they're creating? Exactly. You won't die waiting for an organ donor. Oh, because they'll print them. That's fantastic. They'll just make them out of nothing. And meanwhile, they're also printing a lot of other things like fake meat, you know, like the company Bill Gates is completely owning. Oh, by the way, all the farmland he bought up while you were selling all of your assets because you couldn't pay your bills. That's now the controlling factor in regard to why they need to on and on and on. This is an obvious, obvious connection between every single thing they're driving forward right now and COVID-19 and the justification and the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum. There's a thread running through all of it. And if you don't care to see it, that's a choice, but you can't pretend like it's not there. Here's one of the, just you can look at these for yourself if you want to peruse what they're trying to tell you. These are the predictions that are in that video. 8 things that you need to know about their predictions. Remember, we were just talking about this, how these 10, they claim it like, you know, it's a think tank and we're just kind of theorizing what might happen. And it literally happened, like Event 201 or any of the number of things they've done before. You know, we didn't think about planes flying into buildings, except they were doing exactly that multiple times right up until that actually happened. And they lied to you about it. You know, we didn't tell anybody Iraq was responsible for 9/11, except we literally did. It's absurd. This is about telling you what they're going to be doing. That's what this is. History makes that very clear. These aren't predictions. These are setting the tone. This predictive programming. All products will become services. You won't own anything, on and on. Of course, there's a global price on carbon. You have a carbon tax. And you know how that folds in with COVID-19 and what we're talking about? Because that is your passport. It's not too hard to think of, you know, a stretch of the imagination to see how they can fold that in and be like, oh, well, now you have a passport for carbon. We have points that we'll get to today. Sort of like the conversation about everything else, the green pass. You ever question why they all weirdly called it the Green Pass? Because it's about climate change. They told you that. They have been telling you that. If you don't know that, it's because you're not actually listening to what they keep telling you like this. But the idea that there's a price on carbon or that you have to have a carbon tax is absurd, because all that does is make the poor people have to pay more for things while right, and not even pay more for things. All everybody would have to pay more for things, but they would have to limit what they use because they can't afford to pay more for things. Whereas the rich people, well, they'll keep polluting exactly like they always were. They can pay for it. It's just a cost of doing business. And is it really the poor person on the corner that's polluting the planet, or is it the big companies that can pay for it? Yeah, you can see how that'll work out. More money in the pockets of the people allowing the pollution. U.S. stock. I'm going to go past this because this is interesting to me. I know a lot of people haven't seen this, but nonetheless, here is an article that is still up from 2016 on Forbes. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing. No privacy. Never been better. World Economic Forum. That's your future. That's what they're building. That's what's important to be aware of. Now, before we jump back around over finish with the nanoworms, let's go through the middle here and show you some things that are very clearly tied in with this agenda. One of them, of course, is just the aggressive gaslighting from the mainstream media, from the government, from all the very people that are telling you that you're a crazy conspiracy theorist for thinking anything other than what they yell at you. Even when they're wrong, by the way, which is just the most absurd part of all of this, such as things just like this. Here's Jen Psaki telling you something. And by the way, she's been caught doing this around specifically how many people are vaccinated in this country. What, four times? At least on this show. At the very least, I've caught Biden, her, multiple times saying, well, we've got 50% of the country vaccinated. No, that's false. I've shown you that was false from the very beginning. Then it was 60. Then it was 70. Then you found out, oh, she was lying and she meant to say only one shot, but she wanted you to assume that it was everybody, right? Not two shots, but one. Now we're doing it again where she's saying 20% of the country are the people who have decided not to get vaccinated. Those are the problems. Except 57% of the population has been fully injected. So how could it be 20%? Yeah, I'll let you listen.
For example, approval ratings these days. I know people talk about polls and you might say that they don't mean anything, but it's also fair to say the White House, when there are good polls, you publicize them. So what do you make of these really terrible polls? Are they that he's doing something wrong? Is it just the communication? Or is it he's doing popular things that have to be done?
I have just real quick comment I think is funny, is that he points out something very relevant that we all should see, or rather anybody who's aware of the illusion of the two-party paradigm, it can see. Well, when they want to, the polls are excellent and they're right on exactly what we need, is exactly what we think. And then, of course, when they don't like what it says, well, they're just polls and the polls can be manipulated. Yeah, right. Exactly. The second thing we all know, we just choose if and when we poke that in to make it not valid when we don't want it to be. Otherwise, there's a fantastic poll that shows exactly what's going on, right? We all know this, guys. We all do. Yet sometimes we're really stupid, really childish about it, and we don't ignore it because it works for our political side. Of course, I'm saying we, as in the people lost in the two-party paradigm. More and more and more people are falling out of that, guys. Keep pulling those strings. That is the linchpin to everything before COVID and up until now. If we pull away the two-party illusion, this will not continue.
Look, I would say that this is a really tough time in our country. We're still battling COVID, and a lot of people thought we'd be through it, including us. Because of the rise of the Delta variant, because of the fact that...
The rise of the Delta variant. Right. So a variant that was already... And first of all, a lot of people would argue that that is just a lot. Vaccine side effects being misrepresented as something else. Certainly possible. That's usually an argument coming from those that argue that this is not there at all, which is certainly possible. But more so, the point is that this is something that has every indication that this is never changing. What's their kind of flimsy argument? That's only because of the unvaccinated? There's no evidence to back that up. It's just a complete baseless argument, despite the fact that before this ever happened, there was an entire massive long, 6-7 month period where most people were unvaccinated. Yet we didn't have any popping off variants like we have every 30 seconds today. But that's their go-to excuse. Well, because Delta. But then go ahead and assume that everything will be good if you take it now. Like we just told you, well, this all derailed everything. Meanwhile, there's another variant popping off every other day. And yet they're telling you just go ahead and get it, though. But didn't you just tell us that Delta derailed everything? So why would we do it knowing there's more variants, knowing that it could derail everything like you just explained? It's all up in the air. They know that too. Their own narrative is throwing all of this out of whack. And even people that support them are going, I don't know what's going on. Because this is what happens when you lie about everything. What they do know, what they tell themselves they know, is that trusting them is the right thing to do. So they go for it. But understand, the people that support them right now are weirded out by what's going on because they're confused, even as they listen to what they're supposed to be listening to.
Even though it was a vaccine that was approved under a Republican administration, even though...
Wait a minute. I didn't catch that last time. Did she just say...
Even though we now have full FDA Republican administration because of the fact that even though it was a vaccine that was approved under a Republican...
Oops. Did you guys catch the other lie that Ms. Paskey here just... Approved, apparently. Apparently, this injection was approved under a Republican administration, except the fact that it was literally approved in its weird quasi-approved way under Biden's administration. Then she goes on, by the way, to say full approval, which is stupid, ignorant, not a real thing. But also ask yourself how it's possible it can be, quote, full approved when it's not approved for 12 to 15-year-olds. What happens when that happens next? Is it then full approved? Like, this is just dumb, and they are lying to you all the damn time.
Republican administration, because of the fact that even though it was a vaccine that was approved under a Republican administration, even though we now have full FDA approval, and even though it's widely available across the country, we still have a quarter of the country who have less than that, 20% of the country who've decided not to get vaccinated.
Okay. So first of all, it's not available anywhere in the country. That's a flat out lie. And we'll show you that as we go through the show today. Of course, what she doesn't want, she wants you to assume that it's approved and it's available. What she's going to say is, well, it's available, but it's the emergency authorized one, but they're the same thing and they do the same thing. Okay. But they're not legally the same thing. And that's what matters. Legally, one is emergency authorized. Legally, one 16 and older part of it is approved. There's a huge difference there. And we're going to get into this pretty in depth. Actually, Epoch Times had a great article about this. We're going to go over that today. But she's flat out lying to you. Now, here's a better question. Does she know she's lying? Maybe not. I'm not trying to in any way like give her a pass, give Paskey a pass. No, I am trying to point out that these people are not always as all-encompassing and on, you know, just, some of these people are just really not very smart and they just do what they're told. Could that be her case? Yeah, it's not hard to believe. It's pretty easy to take. But at the end of the day, either she's lying to you or she doesn't know any better. Does it really matter? Because it's easy to prove that she's wrong. Now, here's the thing. Somebody under this goes, well, what about the kids? The kids aren't in that number. So when she says 20%, I don't care about these caveats and I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. She simply said, quote, 20% of the country who've decided not to get vaccinated. That's not true. Because as I just showed you, there's only 57% of the population that's fully vaccinated. And yes, that includes a portion of kids in the population that can't get that. That's irrelevant to the point. If you're saying there's 20% of the population that's refusing and you're counterbalancing that with the other part of it, you're arguing that that is simply not true. Anyway, she lies about this stuff all the time, as well as the other things we pointed out within there. Now, also the point that she's claiming that these people, maybe she says it right here. Hold on.
No question that's having an impact. And of course, as the president has said, the buck stops with him.
Yeah, so the impact is the point. So he was asking whether the approval ratings, those are the polls she was discussing. So his approval ratings are down dramatically. Gee, maybe it's because he's destroying your country and removing your rights and acting like that's all about freedom. You know, by the way, just like Trump did, just for all those going, yeah, Biden sucks. Yeah, they both suck. But the point is that he's talking about approval ratings going down. And she's arguing that the 20%, which is way more than that, who aren't getting injected, are why his approval ratings are dropping? Okay, what the craziest part about this is that the vast majority of people in these areas are, I mean, how is it that, make it very simple, a small percentage of people are suddenly people that don't want this, that's what they're claiming. But aren't they the ones telling you that that's all a bunch of dumb Trump-supporting Republicans? Yeah, that's what they're saying. If not, kind of just opaquely, you know, get broadly arguing that that's generally the case, like they tend to do, and letting you assume. Well, how is it possible that if there are a bunch of dumb Republicans, that those people not taking the injection are why his approval ratings are going down? They didn't agree with him to begin with. They didn't vote for him. They don't like him. They don't want him there. So suddenly, because they're not injected, now they're, I mean, it's just a false argument. His approval ratings are going down because the people who supported him before no longer do. That's very obvious. That's a simple mathematical. It was there before and the numbers changed and it went down. That means some of them no longer support him. You can't argue that the Republicans that aren't getting injected, which is what they're saying, are the reason it's going down because they never did before. It's all fake, guys. The whole damn world seems like it's an illusion right now. And that's probably the truth. This is crazy manipulative. It always has been. Oh, and here's the actual data if you want to look at it for yourself. Maybe Paskey can check it out, you know, actually check her facts like they claim she's doing for everybody else. Not that that stuff is even something you can, you know, every data source we're getting right now in regard to stuff like this should be taken with a grain of salt. You really should, because there's a million ways these things are being manipulated. Oh, and the other point I was going to make before we move past this in general is that remember that a huge portion, remember that we got to about 50% of the country was injected. And it slowed dramatically. And that's when they started this real aggressive push. And that's, you know, that's trickled over to, what, 57% now. That's where it is now. So it's gone 7% over the process of months. That's pretty obvious, right? That is forcing that 7%. So when they're trying to say that it's a bunch of, you know, that you're a bunch of people in the corner and you're the only reason it's not working and it just got to get you unvaxxed idiots over here. No, half the country is saying no. That 7% that is now vaccinated are grudgingly. They didn't want to lose their jobs. They were going to have their kids taken away. You know, all the things they're doing. They were attacked, manipulated, and driven into it. Most of them, in my opinion, based on my research, are regretting that choice, just like Jimmy Dore, just like a lot of them. They're going, well, shoot, now I've got lifelong heart problems. Now I don't, but it doesn't matter. The point is that the media, people like Paskey, represent them as on her side. It's those 20% of idiots, even though it's more like 60%. What's interesting is that a huge portion of them were forced into it. You can't argue that they are on your side. Now, once they're forced into this situation, they have to deal with what comes after that. And those are the parts we're going to get to in a minute that they will never talk about. But for those that are still standing their ground, and good for you, it is, remember when we talked about this when this started? We told you that this is going to become a thing. They were, and this is exactly, this is social engineering. This is predictive programming. Right when this started, remember all the Washington Post, the New York Times of the world came out and said, is it okay to say no to an unvaccinated patient? Let's talk about that. Yeah, gee, and they came to a shocking conclusion that probably it is okay. Oh, gee, I wonder why. They do that every single time. If you're paying attention, they always, because they're setting the table. Now, and we told you then, this is coming. They're going to tell you. They're going to say, we don't want to treat you. We're going to refuse service to you. You're unvaccinated. You're the problem. Don't forget, in this whole conversation, that right now in most places, in like New York specifically, like 70% of the people we're talking about are African-American. They're Black people. Of course, they don't want to talk about how that matters. But you're basically creating segregation again under guise of unvaccinated. It's no different. Here's a Medscape article from today. It's okay for doctors to refuse to treat unvaccinated patients. Now, this is from a PhD, guys. Oh, it's okay now, right? And all the quibbling is gone. I wonder why. Did we ever really define what, legally speaking, whether? Nope, not really. We just decided that it's okay because government says, because unvaccinated people are bad. And so doctors, good, they can refuse bad. Right. It's always really remedial and childish. And that's the idea, is that right now, this is a crime, in my opinion. Not only are they violating the Hippocratic Oath, but don't forget, here's what the FDA document still says right now. If you decide not to get this injection, guess what? Should you decide not to receive it, it will not change your standard medical care. Now, this is September 22nd. Okay. Well, maybe you want to tell these doctors. Right? Maybe you need me. Maybe aren't these doctors that are supposed to be listening to these groups? Right? This is another example of why they listen to what they want to listen to. CDC and the FDA will say things that sometimes it just doesn't matter. There's 11 other points in that FDA document that they're currently manipulating and not holding true to, such as administering these things in places where they don't have all the equipment they need. They don't have the equipment at a Walgreens to deal with the side effects, which they're telling you are there. They just don't. Or how about the fact that they're mixing it with other injections? Right now on this document, it says we don't have any data to demonstrate the safety of mixing it with other injections. They might even be right here. I'm not going to try to find them for you, but that's the point. It tells you that, and yet they're mixing them anyway. Why? Well, just in case, because we're in so much danger that we need to... Nope, not true. Not true. Their own data shows you that that's not true. That's not even generally true for the people in the most risk of this situation. They are bleeding, frothing at the mouth about how overly war the danger and so serious, and then they have to make up all these lies to make it look like it's dangerous. Is that what you have to do? If we're dealing with the bubonic plague, do you think they have to lie and use PCR tests to conflate numbers and hide things from you? Probably not, huh? It's disgusting how obvious this deception is. Now here is Lori Garrett, former fellow of the CFR.org, fantastic, Council on Foreign Relations, you know, a bunch of really good, honest people over there that have been lying and stealing from you your whole life, just came from one of the top 10 best medical centers in the world, overwhelmed by burdens on current lab techs, clerks, and nurses, now that hundreds are gone, having refused COVID vaccination. Of course, that translates into this is because the unvaccinated, except that's not what that actually means. They're firing people for choosing to make their own medical decisions as medical professionals. Think about how horrible that is. Now, on top of that, many hospital administrators, surgeons, doctors, scientists are speaking out and saying, look, it is far more dangerous to fire staff than it is to work with unvaccinated people. Why? Because most of them aren't at risk. There's plenty of things they can do to keep themselves safe, prophylaxis and other. And on top of that, that you're forcing all these restrictions on everybody anyway that haven't gone away. I thought the mask and everything was supposed, her injection is supposed to protect her, but apparently none of that matters because it's one per, it just doesn't make any sense. But the reality is that they're firing people and then going, look, we don't have any staff. And that's not because we fired people. That's because they didn't take an injection we were forcing on them. Talk about backward logic. He says now everything from x-rays and blood tests to chest scan, or I think CT was just a chest scan. What is that? Isn't a CT scan the chest scan? I believe so. And routine physicals, everything, guys, everything. New York is saying they have to wait to deliver babies. Imagine if you rush to the hospital and like, sorry, can't take you as you're about to give birth. That's happening. You know why? Because they're firing people that are not, they're refusing, that are asserting their right to their own medical freedom. Period. I don't care. Even if you believe, even if everything they're saying is true, doesn't change my opinion. You have a right to say no. I mean, it's absurd that we can know as a matter of fact that we don't know the full safety profile. We don't. They've admitted that. Pfizer has admitted that. Many of them admitted that we are still researching. We don't know about the mental problems. We don't know about how it interacts with the drugs, not just other vaccines for COVID, but other drugs in general. They don't know how it interacts with the flu vaccine. They don't know how it interacts with your ADHD medication. They don't know. Why? Because they haven't studied it. This document's included. You guys can look through it for yourselves. It is all the data telling you all this stuff. And yet they're forcing it on everybody, including children who literally have a 1 in a million chance of dying from COVID, as we'll show you again in a moment on the Oxford calculator. Yes, that's what's happening. And this is just like, this is why. This is from today, or excuse me, no, the 12th. I saw it today. Tennessee physicians who spread COVID-19 misinformation could now face disciplinary action. Now, of course, don't forget, many things they've already claimed were misinformation and even censored us for, you know, things like that there's such a thing as myocarditis following the injection, such a thing as blood clots following the injection, such a thing as Bell's palsy following the injection, such a thing as any number of things that we have claimed that were censored for that have later turned out to be true, they called misinformation. In fact, they still do if you do it in certain contexts, even though it's literally being admitted to. So these people who are standing up and going, well, maybe there's another path. Fake news. This is not about truth or information. This is about towing the line. And this is about controlling anybody who is a physician in Tennessee or anywhere else this is happening and saying you are not allowed to give an opinion, speak, have thoughts, prescribe things to people if it is not part of exactly what we have told you to do. They're not thinking. They're not intelligent. They're following orders. Now think about the concept of the whole aspirin absurdity, right? All this time we've all been told, well, aspirin can be used off label for all sorts of things like heart attacks, and everyone agrees with that. Everywhere unanimously. And now suddenly, because we're going, well, wait a minute, why can we use aspirin off label and not ivermectin? Oh, guess what? Tomorrow, new study says no more aspirin off label. Gee, that's pretty self-serving. I wonder why. So you're telling me the entire medical community has been wrong aggressively on that topic for 20 years? Yeah, but don't think about that in the context of maybe they're wrong now. Don't talk about fake news, misinformation, fire him. That's what we're talking about. There's no discernment. There's no critical thinking. It is take what they tell you as fact. Otherwise, you're misinformation. And later, when it turns out that some of those things were actually true, we don't ever address that. We don't uncensor people. We just add it to the list and give you a caveat and say, well, it's only partly true. Give you some of the story. It's super rare, but that kind of thing. Here it says, doctors who spread false information can now face disciplinary action, including suspension, having their medical license revoked in extreme cases. The board, which consists of 12 members appointed by the governor, shocking. So people that are towing the line, is responsible for disciplining physicians who violate practice standards. You know what? People like Dr. Jensen? Yeah, you mean the one who's been completely 100%, 1,000 times over, proven that everything he said was absolutely correct? Yep, just like that. And he got fired anyway. That's what this is. Guess what? They make sure to include this. Anyone can file a complaint against a physician if they believe that. I bet you that was the whole point of this article. this four small paragraph article was meant just to get this number out there for all those, you know, whatever you want to call them, Karens, or however you want to frame this from one side or the other, because everyone uses that however they want, to get this in front of them. It says anyone can file a complaint if they believe their behavior is unacceptable, the physician's behavior, by calling the department. Great. So it's not okay for you to question the scientific findings or the claims of doctors because you're not a doctor. You don't know what's going on. You're not smart enough. But as an average person, you can make your own decision that that doctor's doing something wrong and tattletale on him to the health department. I'm kind of being facetious here. Of course, it should be okay for you to call and say what you want. But it's interesting how one side of that is dumb and crazy. You're too stupid to know. You can't. You're not a doctor. You don't know how to read those things. Yet simultaneously, they're saying, please tell on them if you think they're doing something wrong, even though we just said you don't know what you're talking about. Gotta love the world we live in today. Jumping over to how obvious this is not working as they try to force all these things on you, injections, masks, any of it, while they're overwhelming themselves by creating a self-fulfilling prophecy by firing everybody and then claiming that you're the reason that's happening. 1 month into the world's strictest vaccine passport system, right? So we're past the whole, like we're talking, if you can see from the picture, this is Lithuania, multiple mask mandates, vaccine passports, injections. I mean, this has been one of the places where they've been driving this whole thing. Now we're at a point where we're instituting the passport system. On top of all of that, 1 month into that, one of the world's strictest systems in regard to passports, and 2 weeks into a reinstated mask mandate, 2 weeks into it, cases apparently have skyrocketed in the country. The ability of, quote, experts to ignore reality and endlessly double down on failure is absolutely remarkable to behold. Well, it is actually remarkable, but nothing new. It's the same thing we saw with the Iraq war, the same thing we saw in Syria, the same thing we saw over and over and over, and now it's happening again in the war on your body. It's just another war, it's an extension of the security state. This is the biosecurity state. It's where we are. They're ignoring it because, well, we have to double down, right? Did we leave Afghanistan? Nope. I know that all dissipated to the back corner of the conversation, but guess what? We're still there. Americans are still there. We're still occupying the country. We are still bombing and killing people and civilians. Didn't go away. You know why? Because it's never going to end. Because that is a key part of what they're doing everywhere else. Supply lines. The point is, guys, that it's about going justifying the same old failed policy. Oh, the Taliban did something we don't like, so we have to go back in because... Didn't you just go off about how we need to leave because it was a failed exercise? Yes. But now because they bomb stuff and bad guys, we're going to do the same thing? Yes, that's called insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Except I don't think they expect a different result. I think they know damn well what they're doing. Same thing here. I think they're to some degree aware of what these masks are creating in part. Part of the illusion. But look at the graph here for those in the podcast. You can see very clearly that passports, mask mandates, and this thing is skyrocketing. Now, you could argue a lot of different things. Correlation is not causation. But you can argue a lot of things here. One of them might even be that, you know, all the variants, and that's why it's not. Well, wouldn't the mask stop? Because I thought the mask, yeah, that's what they're arguing. The vaccine passports are supposed to be making sure everyone's injected, but clearly it's not working because the injections aren't stopping any of this. We already know that. Right? They argue, just take the injection, that'll stop all of this. Except you just told us it doesn't stop transmission. You can still catch it. You can still spread it. You have higher viral load, in fact, if you have injections in your nose. But none of that seems to be relevant to why somehow this, if taken by everybody, will therefore then stop it. No, that's a ridiculous argument that is 100% not backed up by the facts that they give you. That's how silly this is. Now, here's a Fauci statement, which just blows me away. Blows me away. A reporter asked, some airline pilots are concerned about long-term effects of the COVID injection that could cost them their jobs. Here's what Fauci has to say.
Hi, thank you for taking the question. I have a question about airline pilots. Commercial airline pilots are held to pretty high physical fitness standards. They undergo medical evaluation every 6 months to maintain their medical certificate to fly. And pilots at American and Southwest Airlines in particular are arguing that some pilots may be reluctant to get vaccinated because of concerns about potential for career-ending side effects. They note that, you know, the FAA's federal air surgeon has ordered pilots not to fly for 48 hours after each shot because of the immediate side effects.
Now, just make sure you heard that, by the way. So, yeah, you're good to sit there for 15 minutes and then go right home and go right on and drive home. No worries. Except people are passing out, losing sight, hearing, use of their arms, legs, seizures within a month afterward. Right. But who cares, though? That's why we termed it vaccidents before, because we were watching people crash into other people after getting the injections. And no one's talking about it. No one cares, because that would create vaccine hesitancy. So hide the truth, basically. Not basically. Hide the truth, because it leads to people being scared of this. Rightfully hesitant of something that could make you die. Right? Who cares, though? Hide it, though, because we like this thing. But he's telling you that they make them wait 48 hours. And that's because of immediate side effects. So what are these pilots know that apparently Dr. Fauci doesn't know, or rather knows, it doesn't want to tell you about? So immediate side effects for 48 hours. There is 1,000 things just like that across the whole thing that reveal to you that you're being deceived. You can't always argue what to what level. It's all fake, or some of it's fake, or it's an illusion. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it does matter, but in the context of this point, it's just about whether you realize that they're being deceitful. They're lying about certain things. And they've even admitted that. I mean, how can we go from the beginning where we ultimately admit that Fauci says, yeah, I lied to you about masks because of whatever, fill in the blank. Which, by the way, we can see quite clearly based on the data that he lied after that. That was the real statement, and they lied because I've even shown you the follow-up on that, where he literally tells you before COVID-19, nah, don't do all those fake things, all those, you know, crazy paranoid things, when that's basically the guy's talking about, you know, having vitamin D, being healthy. Or no, I mean, excuse me, the reverse. He's talking about wearing a mask and distancing and all these things. And Fauci's like, no, none of that paranoid stuff. Just eat healthy. Wash your hands. Right? And so you're telling me that was he lying then? I mean, it just gets so absurd to continue to watch their back and forth on this. Oh, excuse me. I forgot I was playing this.
They're concerned there could be long-term side effects that could cause them to then lose their medical certification and thus lose their jobs and their livelihood. So is this a valid concern? What are the potential long-term side effects of them if a pilot is vaccinated?
Let me turn to Dr. Fauci about the safety and effectiveness of the vaccines. Dr. Fauci.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, right now, on the basis of literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of vaccinations that we've had, the safety of these vaccines have been clearly established. When you look at...
Yeah, well, that's not what he asked, Fauci. Right? That's the talking point, right? It's safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. Okay, now actually get to the point.
That's what the airlines are talking about not having a person fly for, I believe, 24, 48 hours after, because we do know that it is not uncommon to get a sore arm or to maybe get a low-grade fever or some aches that almost invariably diminish and dissipate over a period of a couple of days.
Absolutely untrue. I mean, literally, you talk to anybody, even the people that support this. Talk to Jimmy Dore, people, obviously this stuff goes on for months, which they then call COVID or long COVID, of course. Right? I know the audio is low, guys. Just let me finish the clip and we'll get into the other parts of it. But it's okay, he's saying, it's okay to allow you to drive after it, right? 15 minutes, go ahead and go home. Drive home, no big deal. You can drive all the way home, but airline pilots are being told to wait 48 hours because of the same symptoms. But you go ahead and drive home, though. No big deal. There's another one.
The long-term effects that the people are apparently concerned about really have with I'm sure there is a very, 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 very rare exception, but the long-term effects are really essentially non-existent, in the sense of anything that has been a red flag on the part of the follow-up of these individuals.
And there is his little specific caveat, right? So what he said there is not all long-term effects are non-existent, but that's what he wanted you to take away from it. Long-term side effects are really, really non-existent in the context of this weird, like, let me repeat it.
But the long-term effects are really essentially non-existent
in the sense of anything that has been a red flag. Okay, you see how he plays that game? Okay, so we're only talking about the things we've established as red flags. And in the sense of those things, well, it's not even there. Well, gee, that's a little self-serving, isn't it? How about all the other things that you are pretending aren't really there, even though they're right on the documentation of the FDA document or like, let me refresh this real quick. I believe. All right. You have myocarditis on these documents. They're telling you about this stuff. Right. So, but yet we're going to pretend, here it is right here. We're going to pretend that that's not there. Like, we literally see this, and you just reported that that is way, way, way more than what you expect. But it's non-existent, though, because we're only talking about the red flags we've identified. So they point to things that they've identified from the past. This is aggressively manipulative. This is why I've become, in my opinion, very clearly come to the conclusion that this person is not just playing. He is lying to people, flat out lying, which I know is not. That's pretty much what everyone seems to be concluding right now. But on top of all of that, the idea that any long-term side effects are non-existent, are you serious? How can we possibly know that? This is what I had to say. So long-term side effects of an injection, not even given for a year, according to Fauci, are non-existent, while adverse events, lasting and otherwise, are prolifically reported, yet completely ignored. That's honest, right? Yet, apparently, on the other side of that, long-haul COVID is apparently everywhere, even though we can't possibly know either. Since we're not there yet, again, add to the pile of contradictions. How can we know long-haul COVID is there, but we don't? Like, it's incredible. We don't know because we haven't gotten there. This is, we're talking about typically 1 to 2 years in regard to long-term. I've already shown you this in other documents from the FDA and the CDC. So how do we know it's long-haul? Because they want it to be. They were using the term long-haul a month after this. Right? Where people were getting this, they were going like 2 months, they're going, oh, they got long haul COVID. Why? Because they were quietly setting that narrative. The long-term effects are prolific and it is everywhere. I mean, I just simply say the adverse events that are lasting to the degree of time we've already seen are prolific. The point would be that we can't really know whether this is going to be a problem 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the line, because we don't know. We're not there. But for him to say that is just, that is what, this is what medical misinformation looks like. This is what dangerous medical misinformation looks like.
On the part of the follow-up of these individuals. So although one, I guess, can theoretically say I'm concerned about a long-term effect, the fact of the safety and the follow-up over now, over a considerable period of time, almost a year in so many individuals, we have just not seen that. So we don't really see any true basis in that concern.
And Jeff, if I could just add also, exactly to agree with what Dr. Fauci said, I would also note that serious side effects with the vaccines are very rare. We have a lot of data that show that.
You got to love that. Oh, by the way, they're all super rare. That gigantic pile of things that we don't want to talk about is all super rare, right? That over five of the hundreds of thousands of reports, super, super rare. Oh, and that's only 1% of the total, though, because HHS and Health and Human Services and Harvard both told us that in a study that we pretended wasn't there. That is unbelievable. This is a self-serving narrative. Now, look, I'm happy to tell you that we don't know for sure, because we don't, because nobody's caring to look into these things. And you know whose job it is to look into these? The very people sitting here telling you that it's not happening. Their job is to make sure that they research these things, and they're the ones going, nah, nothing there, nothing to see here, Dick. This is, what's the... Naked Gun. Nothing to see here. Move along as the building's exploding behind them. And that's what this is right now. Now, Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine with Comirnaty label still not available in the United States. This is in a article from the Epoch Times doing a fantastic job talking about whether or not this is available. Right. This is really important. We've talked about this quite a bit. We've talked about this in regard to the emergency use authorization, the FDA approval, and what this really means. Because the important part to understand is that there's a legal distinction here. And that is what matters in regard to which one that you are being given if you're ridiculously taking this thing, in my opinion. Because the bottom line is, they're telling you this is approved. And what this article is discussing, and what I have discussed and shown you, and we're going to show you more today, is that it's not available anywhere. So the thing they're telling you is actually approved, which then gives these companies the feeling that they can force it on you, is not even available. So despite the fact that they're trying to tell you that, and their argument is that this is the same, they're legally distinct, but they're the same product. It does not change the fact that there is legally distinct differences in regard to how you can respond after you have what seems to be a pretty obvious possibility of side effects. It says officials in 19 states confirmed this week to the Epoch Times that they have not received doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 injection labeled Comirnaty. So did pharmacies in New York, California, and Missouri. A Pfizer spokesperson told the Epoch Times in an email that there are no doses of Comirnaty in the United States as of October 12th. Pfizer told them there's no doses available as of October 12th. So really understand what that means. For those, I know there's a lot of people out there that are confused even still. And I honestly think the only reason there's confusion around what the differentiation between these things is because of the people out there still muddying the waters with the argument that this didn't happen at all. Which, again, I just think is sort of ridiculous because no one's arguing that the approval of the 16 and over version is justified, legal, safe, any of that. But to argue they just didn't do it as they are, that they literally did it, is just, it seems like an intentional disinformation to muddy the waters. Because you can look at the document where it says they did, and it's applied to here. It's still wrong, still shouldn't have happened, still doesn't seem justified based on the data, but obviously it happened. The difference is we're dealing with a legal distinction. That's the only way you should think about it. They're producing this chemical, this injection. And up until now, they've been producing it legally under a justification of an emergency use authorization. And therefore, that's what's on the label. The name Comirnaty was applied in the very beginning of all of this, but they don't use it until the approval process is done. So it's there. You can look at it back in the middle of 2020 where they put the name out there. So once they then come out and say, we're approving this for 16 and older, which, by the way, is wrong, damaging. I mean, everything about it is a bad choice because it's not backed up by the data. What they then do is they continue producing the same chemical, and the labels are supposed to be saying Comirnaty. Because now, legally speaking, the same thing in the same vial that they produce with that different label has a different legal accountability. Now, I hope that's clear. I mean, I can't say that any more clear. The difference, though, and somebody brought up before, is that there's already a legal barrier in regard to other injections in this country. We've talked about the Act of 1986. But what we have to understand is that that still utilizes the vaccine injury court, right? Where you can go, hey, I had an injury. And then you have to go through this absurdly difficult process, which most people get refused whether or not they're valid, which is the truth, to possibly get paid out for your vaccine injury. Billions and billions of dollars have been paid out, even though people in the mainstream act like there's never been a vaccine injury, which is just like what we're dealing with today. But the difference today, in my opinion, based on what I understand, this whole thing is super, it's intended to be hard to understand, in my opinion, is that you are staring at a product that has been given complete indemnity. Now, that is applying to the emergency authorization, and that was actually their justification. Well, we're all in so much danger that we have to emergency authorize this thing, which, by the way, is weird when you understand it, what they're telling you, is that it's a half measure. We have to do this, even though we don't know the full safety of this product, which, by the way, we just proved to you is what Pfizer even said. Anything that's emergency authorized or rather not approved hasn't been proven safe and effective. Their argument was we're giving the authorization because we're in so much danger. But that shows you that they haven't reached that safety level. I lost my thread. Now, going forward, Dad, I wanted to keep going on that. I don't want to go too far on this in general, guys. The idea is I don't want people to be confused on the difference between the two things, because there's a lot of that out there. But it will just, I guess, back to finish off on the point I was making, and I do that far too often, is that what we're talking about today is something that they're justifying under the guise that it is approved, even though they're using something that's not. Oh, that's what it was. I'm glad I remembered that. So the point was about 1986 and the act that we're talking about there. And now right now, if you take the emergency authorized part of it and get injured, well, you can't go there. As far as I understand this, you can't go after the government. You can't go after Pfizer. You can't go through any of these processes. And you have the other courts that have been set up or other processes that have been set up during this situation, but it's not the same thing. And that only applied to the emergency authorized product. And again, that was my point I was trying to get to. And they justified that by the guise that, well, we had to do this because we're in danger. Right, so you can see how it shows you that it's not full, not justified. right? So this is how it's working. So we're in a position now where they're telling you that it's good, but it's not actually been proven to be so based on their legal distinction. Now it says, quote, the FDA approved Comirnaty and the emergency use authorized. That's weird. So EUA stands for emergency use authorized. Emergency use authorized Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine have the same formulation and, according to the FDA labeling, can be used interchangeably to provide COVID-19 vaccine series. Now, you see what they're saying there and why they're saying it the way that they are? They're saying it like this because they're in no way do they get into the legal part of it. What they're simply telling you is, well, yeah, you could, in regard to safety, you could use them interchangeably, except the fact that one is emergency authorized and one is approved. One gives you the ability to take some kind of a legal avenue and the other one does not. However, it says lawyers representing clients challenging vaccine requirements say the lack of availability means vaccine mandates based on the FDA approval are unlawful. I don't even know why this is a contentious statement. I mean, if they're the ones telling you there's a legal distinction, then that's the case. And there's no other argument here. They're telling you it's legally different. Meanwhile, they're telling you to force this approved product on people while they literally don't have that product in their hands. There's your legal distinction right there. So whether or not you believe this thing is safe and effective, coming literally down to a legal argument, they cannot force this on you if they're claiming it's they can because it's approved. It says, quote, under the EUA, everyone has an option to accept or refuse the product. But this is being stated by Matthew Staver, chairman of the Liberty Council. I disagree with that to a degree. I mean, that was the argument at the beginning, right? They didn't begin really forcing it the way that they're forcing it now until they had these flimsy approval. But you weren't really given the choice before. Like, you could continue to say no, but remember, they were coercively pushing this on people from the very beginning. So even though there was emergency authorization, the option to refuse or accept was still being applied. There were still people that were forced into it because of their jobs, because of they were federal employees. We saw this. There was even hospitals that said, or schools, that said multiple places said that, well, we don't even care. The emergency authorization, otherwise, it's all safe and effective, so we're going to go forward. But it's not actually. That's the point. Is they're telling you in their own documentation it's not safe and effective if it's emergency authorized. They have not proven that. Now, but it says that means every person, military, civilian. So this is crucial. All the mandates from the military to the civilian population are violating federal law, says the chairman of the Liberty Council. The situation would be different if Comirnaty was available. You cannot interchange BioNTech's Comirnaty with Pfizer's shot from a legal standpoint. Yes. This is what I've been saying for the last couple of weeks. They are legally distinct. That's what they keep telling you. This is very important. Now let me jump over to let you hear this again. This is the phone call I had with Pfizer. And I just want you to hear his distinction on that again, because that's the main point.
I mean, the only reason it matters to me is because, I mean, you know, this is the one that's approved, right? The FDA approved. Is that correct?
Yes. So Comirnaty is the brand name for the FDA-approved Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine, and it has been approved for use in individuals 16 years of age and older as a two-dose series 3 weeks apart.
Right.
So the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine is no different than the Comirnaty vaccine. They're interchangeable. The formulation is the same.
Except one is
there are just certain legal differences that distinguishes them.
Right, except one is emergency authorized and one is approved, right? Like, legally speaking.
Personally,
would feel better if I used the one that's technically FDA approved. That's why I'm asking. So is that just, first of all, so I understand it, and then if you can let me know, if you know, when, I guess you already said you don't know when it will be available here, right?
Correct.
Okay, that's too bad. So do you know where I could call to find out when?
That was just the point, just that he's, you know, his argument is very clear that they are the same thing, but legally distinct. And you realize every person I've spoken to in this regard is very specific about that. But they're legally, he said it three times in this conversation. There's a reason for that, because that is the main point. The legal distinction is everything. Now it says contact with state and federal officials and pharmacies revealed widespread confusion regarding the differences between the approved Pfizer BioNTech vaccine and the version that received emergency authorization in December 2020 and continues to be administered under emergency authorization now. Think about how crazy that is. So here we are. I could sit here and describe to you 100 times over exactly the situation about the differences between these two things. It's not that complicated. again, my point is I think the reason it becomes complicated is because of the misinformation, disinformation, muddying the waters around this conversation. But to think that state and federal officials and pharmacies themselves, the very people that are supposed to be the professionals, are confused about the difference themselves. Do you think that's an accident? My guess is they're like, it's the same thing. Just give them the same thing. Just shut up. Do the same thing. Just give them the damn shot. A number of officials were unaware apparently of any differences, and others insisted that they were just the same thing for all intents and purposes, including several officials with the Department of Health and Human Services, which handled the distribution of the vaccines. Of course, not a shocker that Health and Human Services themselves would step in and gaslight and lie. It says it's the same thing, they said. Of course, well, you could argue it is the same chemical, the same product, but to not add to that that they're legally distinct is probably a crime, but at the very least, not true, that they're deceiving you in a way by omitting very important information. It says the CDC anticipates that Comirnaty will begin to ship sometime in November. CDC is telling people that we have not even begun to ship this approved version right now. So right now, if it hasn't even begun shipping, all the people that are being forced to take this under the guise that it is approved have legal standing. By the way, you have legal standing if you're forced to do it anyway. Might be hard to get that going now, but at some point, as this evens back out, hopefully, that will be something you should follow up on, because you shouldn't have been forced to take this in any circumstance. But here we are. We're being forced because the business is telling you it's approved. And even says that in the document they give you that justifies why you should take it, except you were not given an approved substance. Fact. That was from Arizona Department of Health telling people that. They spoke to the CDC. It's not, they won't have it till November. The Maryland Department of Health was told by the CDC that they will not even ship it until the end of October, beginning of November. Washington State Department of Health said the same thing. It says that they've received, won't likely begin until next month. So all of them are telling you, we're not even getting this until November. Ohio said the same thing. Tennessee said the same thing. The only state expecting doses soon was Delaware. Officials who were told 5,850 doses manufactured after August 23rd approval date should arrive this week. Should. Even then, though, everybody in Delaware who's already been given this and forced this under the guise that was approved has been deceived. The FDA referred questions to the CDC and HHS. The CDC, of course, did not respond to repeated questions, because that's what happens in a transparent society when we're dealing with a medical problem. The very group that's responsible for those choices just doesn't respond to any comments. Of course, this is what we've seen from the CDC the whole damn time, and the FDA for that matter. They just don't get back to you. The HHS official, Health and Human Services official, who wasn't aware of the differences, alleged approved doses were available. So HHS lied. Hey, just like we said before. Shocking, right? They lied. They say, of course, out there right now. But said that she was puzzled by follow-up questions on when they started being available and how many are available, and ultimately referred questions to the FDA. So she doesn't even know what's going on, or she just is completely lying to you. Telling you that they are available, even though they're verifiably not. You could call these departments for yourself, by the way, which I confirm. They do not have them. Then on top of that, she's puzzled by asking when and how. I mean, it's just that either shows you a willingness to act like there's nothing happening, like I'm totally confused about this very valid question, or she doesn't even know what she's talking about. A different Health and Human Services official indicated the agency is not even tracking when the doses will be distributed. That's probably why she was so confused. Now, why would they not care to track them? Because they don't want to know, guys. Just like when they don't track breakthrough cases, they don't want to know. They don't want to be able to demonstrate how you're taking something you shouldn't be taking when you're being told it's approved. They just pretend, oh, we didn't even look at it. You probably got the right one. You probably got it. It's safe and effective. The FDA approved Pfizer biotech vaccine on August 23rd, it says. On the same day, the drug regulator extended the emergency authorization for existing doses for children between 12 and 15. Now, why would they do that if it's the same product? If it's the same product and it's safe and effective and all the things you keep screaming, why would you then extend the emergency authorization while you approved it for another age group? All, by the way, also realize that right there makes the emergency authorization no longer valid, because right in their documentation, let me see if I can find this really quickly. So it says right here. Wait, that's not the one. Let me see. If I can't find it, I'll continue past it. But there's a part in this where it discusses the emergency authorization. Here it is, right here. Okay. Now it says the emergency authorization for the vaccine will end when this when they determine that this is no longer exists, or when there is a change in the approval status of the product, such as an emergency use authorization is no longer needed. That's, is that not very clear? This is why I keep pointing to this FDA document. They don't. This is for people to think, to be told what they were, what the narrative is. This is what you're supposed to think is happening. There's so many parts of this that is being, they're being openly disregarded. Right now, we just saw a change in the approval status. Therefore, the emergency authorization is no longer valid. It's supposed to have ended when that happens. It's the same argument about why they don't want you to realize ivermectin is valid, because, or any other thing you could take, because that then also undermines, because it says right here in this part of it right here, I'm going to jump past it because we've already gone over this many times. It discusses some other alternatives, that there are valid alternatives to the injections. And if there are, well, then there's no use for emergency authorization. It's all self-serving. It could not be more clear. So they extended the emergency authorization for a group of people when they just approved the same substance as safe and effective. The only way that makes sense is they're playing the game here with what they're using as they're claiming is approved. And they want, by the way, they also want to simultaneously keep the emergency going, because without the emergency, they lose all the power they're using elsewhere. But if you just blindly trust these people to do what's best for you, then you have no understanding of history of this country, whether it's from 9/11 or Pearl Harbor or on and on and on. The U.S. liberty, or the many times your governments long ago or all the way up until during Biden's administration have actively lied to you for their own purposes. In the letter extending the emergency authorization, Denise Hilton, the FDA's chief scientist, said the vaccines are, quote, legally distinct. Again, that's important. That's why they always say it, with certain differences that do not impact safety or effectiveness. Okay, if it doesn't impact safety or effectiveness, why is it not allowed for children? Right? Why are the 12 to 15-year-olds not allowed to take it if it's apparently safe and effective? And why does it make a difference? If you're arguing this one is safe and effective, that's why it's been approved, you can't then say that one also is safe and effective. The same thing, the same substance with a different label. And if it is safe and effective, then why is it emergency authorized? None of it adds up, and we all know that. They're keeping these two things going simultaneously when they're not supposed to be happening simultaneously, and they don't actually make sense together. I asked the guy in the phone call, I said, how come my 13-year-old niece is not allowed to have the one that's labeled Comirnaty, even though you're telling us it's safe and effective? And they're also saying that hers is safe and effective. He just didn't have an answer. It says the letter is no longer available on the FDA website, though the same language is used in the frequently asked questions on the approved vaccine Comirnaty, legally distinct. And that's why I play this for you, because even though they removed it from their website, which is very telling, he tells you right on this call, and you can listen to my show from the, let me just grab it. I'll conclude it afterward. There's this, if you see in the URL, that's not something I can share. It's on my computer. But I'll include that link so you guys can listen to this again or watch the past show, where he literally walks through just that and tells you it's legally distinct. The FDA, shocking, has declined to say what the differences are. Now, why would that be? What do you mean declined to say what the differences are? No comment. We won't comment on the differences between the two things. Why? Because they don't want to find themselves in a legally sticky situation? Nothing about this adds up. What it does add up to is a very dishonest situation where they're covering their own butts. Federal agencies and various documents have indicated recently there is little to no Comirnaty supply in the country. The document posted by the CDC last month said Pfizer, quote, does not plan to produce any product with new labeling referring to Comirnaty, quote, over the next few months while they continue to use the emergency authorization product. Meaning they're letting people think that it's approved, letting them inject people with it, and letting them use the emergency authorized product instead without letting them know that they're legally are differences there. Huge. This is the same concept as informed consent. They don't care about letting you about actually fulfilling these things, because multiple studies have shown things like antibody dependent enhancement, or even just things like myocarditis and everything else that they're not telling people about. That's what Jimmy said. Jimmy Dore said, look, I didn't know. Nobody told me. Right? I wasn't aware these things could happen. Look at people like Eric Clapton, who said the same thing, that I was not informed about the full risks. And now they're going after him because he's telling you what happened to him. Staggering. Senator Ron Johnson has questioned why the existing doses were not also approved and given given the lack of commonality supply, whether the FDA was, quote, de facto endorsing vaccine mandates utilizing emergency authorized injections. Exactly. There's no logical reason why you wouldn't approve the same, if it's all the same substance as they're trying to tell you, there's no justifiable reason why you wouldn't approve the whole thing. It's safe and effective, they say, right? So approve it. But they didn't. Obviously, this is wrong. To cast a wider net on the matter, the Epoch Times also contacted 12 private companies, mostly pharmacies involved in vaccine administration. Walgreens, Kroger, HEB Pharmacy, Publix Pharmacy, Thrifty White Pharmacy, the Mayo Clinic, the Navient Health did not respond to requests for comment. None of them. CVS referred questions to the federal government. Northwell Health and New York Healthcare System declined to comment. That's not normal. These people are covering their butts. But it's all safe and effective, though, right? Just be quiet. Go back to sleep. Oh, but don't worry, though. An FDA panel has unanimously, I'm sure that was not by accident, recommends Moderna COVID booster. Right, so as we're watching this, we're talking about, by the way, an emergency authorized booster, because that's also emergency authorized, which also makes no sense. They just said, yeah, we unanimously recommend it. Now, when you get a 16-2 vote from a similar panel that says we shouldn't do this, well, did they just do it anyway? So now they have a panel on a different version of it, and they all say the same thing. Now, how can that even be this case? How can the panel who just said, no, there's not enough evidence that a lot of the dangerous side effects are too much, 16-2, and then the open panel comes on and says, very dangerous, and talks about all the things we're talking about. And when Linsky goes, nah, we disagree, who experts shut up, we're going to do what we want. Then the same panel comes in on the same conversation about a different variation of the mRNA injection for the same use, and somehow it's unanimous? Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and argue, just my opinion, guess. I haven't looked into this. Let me just put it this way. How much you want to bet that that panel is different people? And that was made to happen because they don't like them. You know, just my opinion. That's typically how these things go. But unanimously recommends this booster for people. The booster that's based on the alpha variant or even specifically the original strain, none of which they're telling you is around right now. All of which can cause antibody-dependent enhancement when dealing with the Delta variant, which is what they're telling you is everywhere. That's all backed up by the Journal of Infection and mainstream science. They're telling you to trust, except they're ignoring it. But we approve it, though. Take one more of the thing that didn't do what you need. One more of the thing that does not keep lasting immunity, even though you likely have natural immunity, which is lasting, robust, and durable, with memory B, T cells, antibodies, all of it based on all the institutions they tell you to listen to. The Lancet, WHO, NIH, Nature Magazine, Journal of Infection, all of them are saying the same thing. I've shown you this on plenty of shows about natural immunity. All of them are telling you if you got sick, Lancet says, regardless of disease severity, whether you got very sick or not, you have lasting, robust, durable immunity that lasts possibly the rest of your life, according to Nature. All of that's there. And that Fauci will talk about it and be like, oh, we don't know for sure. How do you not know for sure when all the studies, including from the NIH, say they know for sure? Because they're lying to you. But some good news, France, at least so to this point, the Senate has rejected the bill on compulsory vaccination. 262 against 64. Maybe there is some good out there, right? Let's not get too pessimistic today. I know I lead that chart sometimes, but we have to realize that there are people out there that are fighting for you, whether this is an indication of that or not, right? I exist. I'm out here fighting for you. Don't forget, there are people out there fighting for you. And this didn't happen. Doesn't mean it won't happen anyway. I mean, realistically, just like with Biden, they just need to make it happen. They don't need to actually get your opinion or actually pretend to have a democratic situation. They can just make it happen, sort of like we're dealing with here in this country. But nonetheless, that's good to see. Now, I talked about a company that was pushing back against this, at least pretending to, if you want to put it that way. Maybe they'll change tomorrow. Who knows? But according to this document, which is right here, and this is from October 6th, 2021, so it's reasonably new, Intel, of all people, Intel, is stating quite clearly in their documentation that they will not force these injections, which, I mean, they're probably going to get canceled, which, I mean, good for them for standing up for this if that's what they're actually doing. Now, I'm just going to show you a couple of points that she points out here, Stacey Rudin. Intel will not force employees to get injected. Intel's vaccinated employees cannot say they do not want to work with unvaccinated employees. So let's first look at 8.4. 8.4. It says, do I still have to work with someone who declines to be vaccinated? Intel does not require that its workforce obtain the COVID-19 injection. All Intel personnel working on site must continue to follow all safety practices, including social distancing and masks, which again, the point is, and you, it says that in here elsewhere, if you have the injection, guess what? You still got to wear a mask. Now, just like we always told you, it was never going to go away. You just do it so we can all put these masks away. And the same thing, even if they have received a vaccine, right? So they don't have to do this or divulge this information, but they have to wear the mask even if they got the injection. If local requirements are different, workers must comply with the government requirements. So that's the caveat that the government makes you. Well, that's, we can't do anything about that. But Intel is standing between the mandate, the unjust mandate, and you right now, at least for now, and saying that they don't require it and you must continue doing normal things, even if that's, if you're not, if you're unvaccinated, uninjected, and they care about that. It says Intel forbids managers from asking the status. I mean, that's good for them right here. Do managers need to know who has been injected? It says for privacy reasons, managers and CW sponsors must not collect or share employees' medical data. You know why? Because they seem to clearly understand the legal implications here. I mean, it's this. Hopefully this gets this rolling. Like, if their reason they're doing this is because they know they're not allowed to do that. Right now in hospitals and works and work locations all over the country, they're openly discussing employee vaccination status. That's against the law. Remember in the beginning where we were talking about, you know, the ADA and HIPAA, and they were going, you know, that only applies to your workplace, not hospitals, you fake news conspiracy theory. And now we're literally living that situation where we're watching people in their workplaces. And it's weird how that conversation doesn't come back up. Well, yeah, yes, it applies to your workplace. And yes, we already showed you why you need to understand how that applies, because they're violating that right now. The next part, she says, Intel accepts antibodies as a full substitute for vaccination for anybody who must quarantine after exposure. Now, here's why this concerns me, though, because this is, like I said, going to be a step in that direction. I think it was 1.2. Let's see. It says, I couldn't highlight this. Close contacts, 15 minutes, positive test. It says, symptoms individual or 72 hours prior to positive test. Use a face mask. All workers must decline. Where does it say it? I saw it earlier. Here it is, right here. Antibody. Or a positive antibody IG test. Now, here's what's frustrating about this. Is as much as this feels like a win, what this ultimately amounts to is you still having to use the passport system and just simply continue to be tested to prove that you have antibodies. Even though you probably haven't the rest of your life, they're going to make you test every 2 weeks or every 2 months because that's what the injection wanes after. not your natural immunity, but that's the point. But nonetheless, this is Intel taking a different stance than pretty much everybody else. Good for them. They're telling you, you don't need to be injected. We're not going to ask you about your injection status, right? You can even prove natural immunity. They're going to get hit for this, I would argue. But everybody else is going a different direction. Now ask yourself how that makes sense when we're seeing things like this. Johnson & Johnson, 39-year-old mom of three, went into cardiac arrest 4 times. Her sister's the one posting this video. This is after her injection.
So the kids, they love you, okay? They're ready for school. And they're ready for mama.
For those in the podcast, she's almost undetectably nodding her head. And it's just really sad. This is a mother who's been taken away from her family because after her injection, she ended up having these kind of problems. And that has been a verifiable side effect of taking these injections. But nobody cares because she's probably crazy. That's the amount of the mainstream media due diligence. Here is a UGA student dying of what they're calling COVID-19 complications. How great is that? COVID-19, you know why that's disgusting? Because he was fully injected. Sean Kahn-Kuhn, a senior majoring in exercise and sports science at the University of Georgia, passes away October 11th after battling COVID-19-based pneumonia. Right. I can promise you he's wearing a mask. You can see it right here at the place he works at. So that's a very clear indication that it could possibly create the complications of pneumonia, because the main study we've talked about that I've shown you many times around, I'll just grab it real quick because I haven't talked about it in a while. I was under COVID-19. That's right. I'm not forgetting if you guys can see these categories. I've got a zillion things in here. This is the most important one around the only randomly controlled trial around cloth masks. And just the simple point is moisture retention and reuse of these and pore filtration may result in an increased risk of infection. And they say right here that the rate of all infection outcomes were highest in the cloth mask arm. So not only is it high and dangerous, it increases your risk of infection. And they say that as a precautionary measure, cloth masks should not be recommended. This was 2015. Nothing changed since then. This is the only random controlled trial. And yet this comes out and they go, wear cloth masks. In fact, the CDC made that their primary push to the beginning and then quietly went the other way. But most people still to this day use cloth masks. Okay, so if we know it can increase your risk of infection, we know that it can lead to bacterial pneumonia, which is a very obvious connection. Can that not be what caused? Of course, it could exacerbate, it can cause it, but nobody will talk about that because in COVID clown world, you're not allowed to point to science that says something different than the narrative because that's called fake news. And on top of this, though, he was fully vaccinated. Certified personal trainer, so he wasn't an unhealthy person. But his sister said he was fully injected. And this is backed up by everything else you could find. And the point is that he got fully injected. Then they claim he got COVID-19-based pneumonia, which could that just, I mean, we know they're combining pneumonia with flu and COVID-19 in the number they give you listed under PIC on CDC website. So could that not just be something else? Of course it could. Based on a PCR test with a hugely high false positive rate? Yes, of course it could. Or it could be injection side effects. It could be injection leading to infection. Or it could be the spike protein causing disease, which could then also be spread. Because don't forget, as we've shown you a million times as well, as the Salk Institute made very clear on April 30th, 2021, that this study proved that the spike protein by itself can cause disease. And we know the spike protein is found in your blood circulating after one day, as the other science from, I believe, Oxford found as well. And then the discoverer of that mRNA spoke out on Twitter and elsewhere and said, of course this can shed. So the bottom line is, guys, that this is happening. You're injected. You have the spike protein. It can shed. It can cause disease, which can lead to all these things. And you're wearing a mask that suppresses your immune system, that causes you to increasingly create more infection based on the science we just showed you. And it's a no-brainer that this is being ignored. Now, is it possible that this guy caught COVID-19 after? Sure it is. But how about you realize on top of everything else I just said, that shows you that the injection is not working. Especially since he went on to die from it, except that they go, oh, it's super rare. No, everything's super rare up until it happens. Just like this. A 13-year-old boy in Brazil dying after getting the injection. How hard? I almost apologize for having to watch that or having you watch that. It breaks my heart every time I watch that. And not only that, it's probably going to be, it matters, but this is something YouTube will censor because it's too graphic while they allow all kinds of pedophilic content on their website. This is a child dying on the spot. Right? Note the masks and everything else. This is unreal to me. And this person says children statistically have less than a 1 in 32,000 chance of dying from COVID. And that's actually incorrect. As this person points out, first of all, media would say, well, this would never happen if everybody was vaccinated. The vax are mostly safe, right? That poor kid and his family, just think, had he not gotten it or had he just gotten the virus, he would have probably survived anyway. If he had lived long enough to catch COVID, his symptoms would allegedly have been minor. Right. Understand how crazy that is. Right? Here is the breakdown from Oxford Calculator. This is the COVID risk assessment calculator, right? They only allow you to go to 19. There's a reason for that, by the way. Under 19, the number becomes even higher. 1 in 10 million, 1 in 100 million. We're at 19. And overall, general information, no comorbidities. Here's what it says. Literally one in a million. There's no misunderstanding that. Dying, that's dying. Children dying from COVID-19, like we're watching happen right here, is one in a million. And yet they gave him an injection that leads to far more potential, statistically speaking, a better chance of having the side effects that can lead to things just like this. It should make you very upset because this is happening. And my point is always, is it doesn't even matter if it's only a small super fringe. If it is less than one in a million, then you can't force it on these people. Even if it's more than one in a million, you still can't force it on these people because they're supposed to have free choice, but we pretend that that is all here. Pretend that it's all encompassing and that's all we care about right up until it goes against the government agenda. You cannot force this on people anyway. With all the data you're hiding from everybody, it's obvious that what you're doing is increasing their risk at every damn turn. But don't worry, though, because the White House is telling states to prepare for COVID vaccinations in young children. Right. And then what I said about this was, of course, here we are again. Remember when everybody got upset, and rightly so, when Biden came out and said, get ready for boosters before the FDA approved them? And people were going, well, how does he know it's going to come? Aren't they processing now? And the point was, of course they know it's going to happen. Are you even remotely questioning whether they're going to go, yes, do this? The White House, politics are driving policy. They always have. And here he is doing it again. Even after last time he got negative pushback for it, he comes out again and says, get ready for the thing. We don't know what's going to happen for sure. Because, of course, even if it does get voted down, they're going to keep pushing until it happens. This is the point. White House told governors to start preparing to inject the children as young as 5. You know, kids that have a 0% chance, statistically speaking, 1 in a million of dying by early next month. Because Pfizer's talking about doing this, right? Yeah, of course, exactly. So get ready for the thing that we don't know is going to happen for sure. So waste your resources at a time where we're telling you that you're all short on resources to do something we're not even sure is going to happen, even though that's not the point, because you know they know what's going to happen. That's the point. The argument would be if they're unsure, that would be a potential risk of resources at a time when they clearly don't have enough. They wouldn't do that because they know this is going to happen. Here's Biden.
Now, I know parents out there are anxiously waiting for a vaccine for children ages 5 to 11.
Oh, yeah, really anxious. My opinion, that's the very slim minority of people that are dumb enough to pretend this is what they need for their 5 to 11-year-old.
The good news is the FDA and outside experts from the CDC are set to make its determination as to whether the vaccine will be authorized for that age range in the next few weeks.
Oh, you know what? I just realized a mistake I made, and I'm glad I caught it on the show before I have to do it tomorrow. I conflated the FDA panel with the CDC panel. For those that recognize what I'm talking about, I was talking about the FDA panel a moment ago, or you know, a half hour ago, whenever it was, and I conflated that in my mind with the CDC panel because I pointed to Walensky and her circumventing their decision. That's obviously not the FDA panel. So just make sure that's clear. That was my mistake. Same point, though. Same point. Yeah, same point in regard to the CDC and the same point in regard to the FDA, but they're different. Just make sure we understand that. Now he's referencing the CDC panel, and it's the same point. How they end up voting doesn't seem to really matter unless it votes in the direction that they want it to go.
If authorized, we are ready. We have purchased enough vaccines for all children between the ages of 5 and 11. The United States, and it'll be convenient for parents to get their children vaccinated at trusted locations, and families will be able to sleep easier at night knowing their kids are protected as well. Now, I know
God, that guy, I can't look at him talking like that without, it's just a struggle with his eye. He can barely, his eyes are squinted and he's reading word to word. And I get, this is not a partisan point, guys. I think it's silly that people can't address how obviously this man is struggling. But it's very interesting to me that what he's talking about.
Authorized, we are ready. We are
so he's saying they purchased all these injections. You know what one of the main arguments is from around the world that I'm not even really engaging with because I don't necessarily agree with where they're coming from with this argument. But they're going, well, you shouldn't buy up all the injections because other people in like Africa and elsewhere haven't gotten any and you guys are taking them all. So he's buying more injections for something that he hasn't even, we're supposed to be think is uncertain at the moment. Why aren't they arguing now? Where are all those people from all these, you know, mainstream organizations going, wait a minute, you have to make sure that they get it if it's an equitable distribution. Except he's going to step in and buy it for all these people before he knows we're going to need to give it to them. Before it's been allowed to. Before they've even voted on whether or not they're supposed to. But we'll buy them just in case. Contradiction. Constant contradictions. It's all over this entire argument. Now, on that note, going forward, in regard to, I guess not necessarily contradictions. I mean, that's the whole damn thing is about contradictions. But really what we're talking about here in this next point is, I guess, foreknowledge to a degree. Capitalizing on the situation that they're creating? Also, a very clear example of the very side effects that they're arguing aren't there by showing you what they're now utilizing. Now, here is somebody's just a screenshot they shared. That's the important part is what I look up after this, but let me just read you what they say. Pfizer makes a COVID vaccine, but you know what they also make? A blood thinner medication called Eliquis. Probably pronounced differently. Don't care, really. To combat blood clots. The sales for Eliquis have gone through the roof, and many doctors are recommending Eliquis to patients suffering from vaccine side effects. All that's true, by the way. All of it. Now here it's called Apixaban. Sold under the name Eliquis, which I don't even know why they do that, but who cares? It says, is an anticoagulant medication used to treat and prevent blood clots and to prevent stroke. Isn't that interesting? So the two things that we see all over the place that they keep going is super rare and uncommon as they continue to pile up in front of us, that, by the way, they've also admitted are to some degree happening. They've admitted that. Make sure we're clear on that. They've all admitted that these things can lead to blood clots. They can lead to strokes. Super rare. And even though, of course, their follow-up argument is, well, there's more strokes naturally occurring, even though we know this can lead to it, which just means just forget about it. Who cares? Don't really understand the risks. We're telling you it's not even there. Then you have a stroke, and then you know, supposed to be informed about it. Regardless of how common you think it is. The point is that this drug that Pfizer also makes, which was, just so you can see down here, the new drug application, the NDA for the approval of this was submitted to the FDA by Bristol Myers Squibb and Pfizer in 2011. So going forward, here's the increase of the sales. They had $9.17 billion in sales reached in 2019. There was a 16% increase in 2020, that's gigantic. A 16% increase is huge. 16% increase in sales from 19 to 20. What changed? Oh, that's right. The administration or testing of this drug. Now, also COVID-19, right? I understand in the beginning half of this, you could argue, well, it's all COVID-19. And sure, we could argue that the spike protein that we're talking about in that context can lead to the same problem. So in this discussion, you could push the argument out that it's only COVID-19 causing this, but that does not seem to be backed up by the information. They're claiming this can lead to that, and that seems to be a valid argument, but I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing that in the data. So I don't care what the CDC states is happening or what the FDA says or what Fauci says. I need to see the data, and the data that I see does not back up that we're having an overwhelming onslaught of strokes and heart attacks following COVID-19. Did we see that happen in 2020? We only saw this huge stroke and blood clot and venous thrombosis and all these things drive up and into the conversation after 2021. And then they circle back and go, but COVID can do it too. That's what's happening. A 16% increase. Now check this out. 2020, Eliquis was fourth among all prescription drugs worldwide in 2020 with the sales of $9.17 billion. So that was the 2020 sales. It says that they generated $9.17 billion in sales in 2020, an improvement. Oh, that's funny. Check this out. So this is different articles. I'm just looking at it from the Google search part of it. But this one's claiming so they just rounded up 16% versus a 15.6, which is fair to round up 16 in a decimal point. Regardless, a huge increase. Now, here is just another. This is on pharmadigicoach.com. It's saying Pfizer's top-selling drug in 2020, one of them was Eliquis. Top-selling. I wonder why. Pfizer is only one brand in the top 10, Eliquis. Now, if you go back and look at the previous years, you see a sharp decline. Well, going the other direction, obviously, 2018 and further back. So you can see that there has been an obvious increase in the later years in this. I wonder why. Now, on top of that, Pfizer is spending a lot of money By the way, it's funny. They spent $4 billion in contributions and lobbying and politicians. Guess how much they've spent on crimes they've committed? I mean, I might as well just grab that since I'm pointing it out. I find this to be kind of funny. The correlation, I guess not really correlation, but there has been $4,660,896,333 paid out for 71 violations of Pfizer. This is for Pfizer specifically, just so we're all clear on that. And for what kind of crimes, in case you haven't seen this? Well, healthcare-related offenses. That's just a general term. A lot of dangerous things happen in there. $3.3 billion paid out for 10 different crimes. Government contracting, so they lied in contracts. You know, that's relevant because right now the government and the media blindly regurgitates whatever Pfizer tells them they find. Here they are being caught 19 different times for lying in those contracts. But who cares about today? Safety-related offenses. So they've spent out over $100 million for 11 crimes for lying about safety. Gee, that's not relevant today at all. Super safe and effective. Safe and effective. Competition-related. Environment-related. 19 different crimes, right? False Claims Act. Lying about what these things can do. Gee, none of this is relevant, huh? $4.6 billion paid out. And this is only since the year 2000. They've been around since before then. So now, on the other side of this argument, they're spending $6 million less to influence your politicians. Now, can you guess who they've influenced? I bet you all out there have your opinions. $10 million in 2020, $11 million in 2019. It's probably going to be a hell of a lot more in 2021. We'll wait and see. Let me see if we get there. Not yet. Now, you guys have probably guessed already. Oh, it's probably all the Democrats, right? Or it's all one or the other. Well, it's pretty much, well, other than the totals, it's both. We need to recognize that. Now, I would argue these are higher on this side of it because Joe Biden's the administration right now, right? If you would look at this back when it was Donald Trump who was in the presidency, it would probably be more slanted towards the controlling factor, right? But recognize that Joe Biden has been given almost $400,000 from Pfizer. Yes, that's very relevant right now. The DNC, almost $200,000. But then you can jump, and there's a DNC actually is more about almost 350, closer to that. But the National Republican Senatorial Committee, $123,000. Donald Trump specifically, $120,000. National, the NRC, $100,000. Right? I mean, this is interesting. Why are these people giving money to your politicians? Doesn't that matter? Of course it does. While we're watching what's happened, even more so. So as they're making lots of money from selling a drug that absolutely is benefiting from the side effects that their injections are causing, as they've admitted to, recognize there's much more happening here than you want to admit to if you're not willing to embrace this discussion. It's just very clear. I mean, this is just like and this was proven, by the way, the conversation about the opioids, the Sackler family, and how they were caught even on their own documentation, their own transcripts, by going, hey, this is a great opportunity to push Narcan, our own drug that also works and benefits us by side. Like, so they have a drug that benefits the more people have overdoses. And they have a situation where their drug they're pushing is causing dramatic levels of overdoses. They acknowledge that and go, perfect. Keep pushing it because it's making money. That's not verbatim, but that's on transcripts. They were caught. And you know what happened? They were fined money. No one went to jail. One of the biggest crimes perpetrated against this country in the history of this country, not the biggest, but the opioid crisis was a crime. Your government, involved with foreign policy, talking about Afghanistan, the opium trade, all of this, coming back to how it was pushed on you, how they knew it was happening, and how the government, the companies were allowed to keep going, the doctors were allowed to keep pushing it, and given direct profits for doing so. Yeah, they arrested a bunch of low-level doctors. You know who didn't get in trouble? The government or the companies doing it. Because they were profiting on both sides of the problem they created. That's what this is. Now, finally, on this one segment, here is Amesh Adalja, infectious disease medical doctor, pointing out that he just saw a patient with a fever and body aches with two negative SARS-CoV-2 tests, but is interestingly positive for influenza B. That's interesting. One of the B lineages has been thought to have almost went extinct yet is showing up in this guy's body right now after the injections. It says this person was vaccinated, so curious as to what the vaccine strain match is. This is really interesting. Now, is it possible that he got injected and it just happened to come down with a strain of the flu that's been thought to have been extinct at a time when we're literally watching the flu be non-existent? Sure, it's possible. It's far more likely that this is something that created this or drove him body to this inside the what the injection created, caused. I don't know. But this is a doctor speaking out going, this is very strange. Here's somebody else chiming in going, my son's friend is 21, double jabbed, no underlying health problems, rarely gets ill, and now suddenly got the flu at a time when we're not even in the flu season yet. By the way, I'm finding a lot of anecdotal discussions about this exact thing long before right now. People getting the injection and then getting the flu. And yet guess what? That probably goes down as COVID-19. Pretty weird. A lot happening that is wrong. Now, this should make you laugh. This is not a joke. The Courier Mail is a Canadian, right? QLD's best news source. I'm not going to try to search it out. Regardless, it's a blue check mainstream news source. This is what they're saying. If you are fully vaccinated, which, by the way, they tell you means you're safe, it's safe and effective, and you won't get sick, you won't go to the hospital. If you get anything, it's going to be mild and you're super safe. Well, they're telling you if you got that, you're fully vaccinated against COVID, the next step, I thought they were safe and everything. That was the end result, right? Well, the next step to improve your immunity may be to actually catch the virus. Not a parody. This is peak COVID clown world. Go get sick with the thing we're telling you so you can get antibodies so we can pretend that the vaccination is why that's going on. The injection that's supposed to keep you safe is not, at the very least, not effective enough. So you want to go get the thing that the whole point of taking the injection was meant to avoid so you can then have immunity. I mean, if you don't realize why that's stupid, then you are just not paying attention. Because the argument's going to be, well, of course, because the experts say that doing both is supposed to be better for you. Well, no, that's not the truth, though, because the injection removes antibodies from your blood, as the mainstream has reported, as Red Cross has said and then removed from their website, as the scientist reporting from his lab admitted on mainstream media, 5 to 6 times lower after the Pfizer injection are your antibodies. On top of that, if you are injected and then get sick, that's what leads to antibody-dependent enhancement. So says two different peer-reviewed studies. But who cares, though? Because this is how you drive people to make it look like the injections are working while undermining the very idea of natural immunity. It's just silly. But to finish off with the direction this is all going, the article many of you are probably waiting for, first of all, Psy.org. This is from September 15, 2021. So what's crazy to me is, like I said before, that right now there are people that are looking at the title and going, all the fake news, the conspiracy theory. And it's like, it's just so silly. DARPA, the government, even people like NIH have been involved with these kind of experiments for 20 years, if not a lot more. I was just going to try to, I forgot. I always forget to grab this. There's a video. Here, look really quickly before I waste too much time here. In regard to somebody speaking on this in the past, doesn't look like I have it. You guys have seen it many times. Yeah, I don't remember what it's even called, so I'm just going to skip it. But there's a video I've shown you where the guy's talking about this back in 2011, pointing to things that are I'm estimating what the size looks like, but, you know, 8 to 10 times or eighth the size, tenth the size of a grain of salt. So smaller, dramatically smaller than a grain of salt. And they were making nanotechnology, little nano, you know, robots that could literally be used and nano dust is what they were calling it. The Mew chip is what it was actually called. And these things, the size of dust, you could blow it into the air. It could land on your skin and it would use the movement of your body and the heat of your body to operate. This was 2011. I mean, we've talked about this so many times, and yet they come out like this conversation. They go, look at this new thing, the size of the pill, the smallest nanotechnology. So we can have something the size of dust back in 2011, yet somehow this is now the smallest version? That's gaslighting. Regardless of that, the point is that it's always been there and they've always been working on it, even in the context of being inside of injections. Not to say that that's what's happening today, but that is something they've looked at, studied, and reported on back before COVID clown world. But now the point is, you talk about any of this stuff anywhere on Twitter or elsewhere, you're crazy, according to them. This is silly fake news because they've already decided anything around this topic is creating vaccine hesitancy or driving towards some kind of a, you know, direction that opens up the narrative they don't want to talk about. The article's headlines, new coding technology uses nano worms to kill COVID-19. The coding developed at the University of Queensland has already proven effective in killing the virus that causes COVID-19, right? So we're being told, just like Pfizer or anybody else, it's a study of grouping of people that have said something, right? So when they come out, if they had come out and said, we found that masks don't work, well, of course, the media would say, probably not true. Here's why they're wrong without even going into the data. But when something comes out from a study that says what they agree with, well, of course, that makes sense because we agree with it. Every side's doing that right now, including the mainstream media and the government. It says, and this shows promise as a barrier against transmission on surfaces and face masks. Now, the University of Queensland's Australia Institute for Bioengineering and Nanotechnology researcher, Professor Michael Monteiro, said the water-based coating deployed worm-like structures that attack the virus. So, and picture that in your mind happening on your face or on the table in front of you. Worms destroying things on the table. Now, maybe that sounds good if you believe this is safe for you. Quote, when they were sprayed with these nanoworms, it resulted in complete inactivation of COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, everything possible under the sun. Nope, the alpha variant of SARS-CoV-2 and influenza A. Great. So it was effective at stopping something that they keep telling you is not even really happening right now, that the vast majority is delta. But here we're pointing to alpha and acting like that means this will work. That's happening everywhere right now. Even in regard to their boosters and what they're doing forward, they're working on new versions of these shots right now based on the variants that are currently happening. So as we get Mu and Lambda and those that go forward, they're going to push out something out new. And so now take this one, even though it doesn't apply to the variant that's currently happening within their narrative. Every scientific study that I talk about shows you that that doesn't make sense. A lot of these doctors are telling you that just because you're creating antibodies doesn't mean that it's antibodies for the right problem. And if you do create antibodies, it could cause problems like antibody-dependent enhancement. It says, quote, I just read that one. It says, the coding was developed with, guess who? Boeing. Right. That very obviously health-focused medical expert Boeing that's creating things for your safety and health. No. They're talking about Boeing, the munitions company that makes things for the government focused on military. Great. So developed with Boeing as a joint research project. I wonder why Boeing would be working on things that would stop COVID-19 on masks and surfaces, I wonder. Because everything military and otherwise is focused on the health biosecurity state right now. It says, Anne was tested at the Peter Doherty Institute for Infection and Immunity at the University of Melbourne. These polymer nanoworms, their term, rupture the membrane of virus droplets transmitted through coughing, sneezing, saliva, and damage their RNA. There's nothing could go wrong there. You know, like rupturing membranes other than the virus droplets or, you know, damaging RNA that's not part of theirs. Maybe like, how about the fact that we're talking about people that already have an injection in their body and are producing spike proteins? And that might be recognized as the problem. And they start attacking your body. How about that? And then you've got nanoworms worming through your body, destroying things that they associate with the virus that are actually part of your body. You know, this is real world stuff that we're already seeing happen in other circumstances. But who cares about any of this stuff, this logical conclusion? We are going to tell you this is safe because our study says so based on a variant that's not even really dealing with, that you're not even really dealing with at the moment. Damage their RNA, rupture the membrane of the droplets transmitted through coughing, except we're talking about aerosolized particulates, but facts, you know, who cares about that? Quote, the chemistry involved is versatile, so the coating can be readily redesigned. Oh, you mean like a platform? Exactly. To target emerging viruses and aid in controlling future pandemics. Exactly. And if you go through and read this, there's a constant crossover between this and the flu, right? We'll work for this, it'll work for the flu. That's why they're talking about, you know, why that matters? Well, because this shows you that masks are never going away. They're going to be used and changed and altered to be, well, now we're going to need it for the flu. oh, you know, we just added measles to the quarantinable discussion, the quarantinable illness on list. So now you can, now masks are not going away, guys. If they're now using and creating sprays that are going to go on the masks to help them fight off the flu, recognize what that shows you. This is what I mean when they tell you what's going to happen. When the so-called twindemic comes around, well, they're going to start pushing masks because of flu season. And then you're going to be forced to wear masks in your businesses. And then this will be working for you. Oh, if you believe this is safe, which, by the way, it doesn't seem that way at all to me. It seems very alarming. And it seems like a new experimental entity. That's not the right word, even maybe a little bit with the nanoworms. Experimental process that has not been real world tested, that they're probably going to roll out under an emergency authorization and use on you just like they have in every other way. That's my opinion, obviously. But controlling future pandemics, redesign. So, and now next thing comes out tomorrow. They go, oh, it's good. You know, one little alter, one little tweak here. And now we've got new nanoworms that can fight this thing. Now, how do we know for sure that tweaking it won't cause some kind of variation? Well, we don't know because we haven't done it yet, but don't worry. We'll get there and we'll do it on you in real time and we'll figure it out. Well, here's the study. Waterborne, this is on ACS publications, most trusted, most cited, most read, right? Unless they say what we don't like. Waterborne nanocoating for rapid inactivation of SARS-CoV-2 and other viruses, of course. Because these days you can't make something for one virus because that's like making, you know, a piece of technology that gets outdated in a month. You don't want that. Then you got to make a new thing. Right? We're going to make something. We're going to make a VCR that can be turned into a CD player, that can be turned into a Blu-ray. Right? You just keep folding it over. That's what this is. It's not about health, guys. It's about the technocratic future. It's very clear. It says our nanoworms efficiently bind and through subsequent large nanoscale confrontational changes, rupture the viral membrane and subsequently bind and degrade its RNA. Sure, that can't go wrong in any way. It says completely inactivated SARS-CoV-2, and the coding has completely inactivated SARS-CoV-2, and an evolved SARS-CoV-2 variant of concern, the alpha variant. That's it. Well, and they say influenza, of course. And a surrogate capsid pseudovirus expressing the influenza virus. Weird how it's all focused on that. But it goes on to say that coding surgical masks, right? That's the point. Let's not be confused about this is exactly what they're calling for. With our nanoworms, resulted in complete inactivation of the things that we're right now being told are not actually what we're dealing with. So I don't know why that translates into why we would use it. Providing a powerful control measure for SARS-CoV-2 and its variants? No, not all its variants, for the only one that you used in this study. But that's how they apply this. But it goes on to say the technology described here represents an environmentally friendly coating with a proposed nanomechanical mechanism for inactivation of both enveloped and capsid viruses. In general, the functional nanoworms can be easily modified to target viruses in future pandemics and is compatible with large-scale manufacturing processes. Let me ask you this. These things, it doesn't seem to address what really happens. But do they dissipate? Or they continue seeking out new things, and can that eventually become a problem? Are they going to start eating other things that maybe aren't necessarily something you want to remove? Are they going to start removing things like good things in your body, like good bacteria? Or, you know, there's possibilities here that don't really make sense or that don't really get addressed. Either way, whether or not this seems valid to you, the point is that this very conversation is fake news. And the fact that people in this community have been calling out things they've seen or that other scientists have pointed out. What are these things we're seeing on these masks? And yet, this conversation is very valid. It's there. It's in front of you. And yet, it's fake news simultaneously. Not fake news to say that it's just to even convert, even discuss. Could it be that? Fake news. As they're literally calling for it to happen. That's crazy to me. Now, to finish this off in an obvious point here, I want to revisit something I've talked about many times, but I haven't talked about in a while, for why this is valid and why it ties back in with everything happening around COVID-19, not just the obvious end goal of the Great Reset, but how the Great Reset, COVID-19, nanoworms, and everything else they're using, this application of nanotechnology in every seemable facet of our lives that just happened on a dime during a pandemic, during the biggest pandemic in the century, right? We're going to reevaluate and alter the very direction of our entire society in the midst of the biggest pandemic in our history. Does that make sense? Right? We're all scrambling and everyone's in danger and we're going to take this time to redesign everything? Come on. We can't be this naive. This is what's happening in one degree, because there's a lot of multifaceted agendas happening here. 19 years ago, this article was written, July 23rd, 2002, the Sydney Morning Herald. I've mentioned this more than once. I want to read this first because it just encapsulates the point before we actually look at the documents. U.S. report foretells of brave new world. I love how they even use that term. A draft government report, which we will look at in a second, as one of them. A draft government report says we will alter human evolution within 20 years. I've been saying in 20 years, but they said within 20 years by combining what we know of nanotechnology, biotechnology, IT, and cognitive sciences. The 405-page report sponsored by the U.S. National Science Foundation of Commerce and Department Commerce Department. The document called Converging Technologies for Improving Human Performance. Think how creepy that sounds. So the converging nanotechnology, biotechnology, internet technology, and cognitive sciences to improve human performance. Pretty clear what that says. Calls for a broad-based research program to improve human performance leading to telepathy, machine-to-human communication, amplified personal sensory devices, and enhanced intellectual capacity. Talking about hive minds, implantables. That's what all of this is. It's not a secret, and it was openly discussed at a time when people weren't even beginning to understand what this was. That's why I played these clips in the beginning. It's really important to hear what they're actually telling you.
The difference of this forced industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take a genetic editing.
Right.
Just as an example.
Right. So it's the fourth industrial revolution is now. That's what he is saying is happening right now. So it's not some lofty conversation for the future. That was when he was giving it. That was before this happened. But now he's saying that's what we're going through. Right. So he's telling you that in this time, that's what's going to happen. There's no confusion here. That's why the other one was the same point. What, this is the blending of these technologies. That's not tomorrow. That's happening today.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
Now, okay, so let's make sure we're clear that is what they just listed off is exactly what this document's talking about. I mean, literally exactly the same thing. The convergence of these technologies. That's what he just listed off. Bio, technical, I mean, it's exactly the same thing. So going over the documents really quickly. I don't know, the point, but so just the point I've made in the past. 2002, these documents foretold this future using nanotechnology combined with your biological technology and everything else. In 20 years, that puts you at 2022. Do you not realize how perfectly that aligns with where we're going and what's happening? I know you guys do. You've been listening to this discussion for a long time. But since we're here and we're pointing these things out, make sure we also note the foreknowledge of the vaccine passports from the European Union Commission, where they, in between 2018 and 2019, so in the year 2018, they laid out a plan, a roadmap for when they would institute vaccine passports, a thing at the time was completely unheard of. Commission proposal for a common vaccination card or passport right in between 2021 and 2022. What a lucky guess, huh? Now, within 20 years, we will alter human evolution using nanotechnology. Here we are. That's what's happening. They are using this in the nanolipid particles in your injections, mRNA injections that are new and experimental. We've never done before. They're using it in every other facet of health right now. They are revolutionizing in a dangerous way the nano versions of what they're trying to push into your life. Don't forget that nanoparticles, not just nanotechnology, but nanoparticles in and of themselves, the studies behind this have shown you that they lead to cancer. They lead to all sorts of things. They never even attempted to address that. It's unreal. Here are the documents. Converging technologies for improving human performance. You can read these for yourself. I've gone over them in the past where they just lay it out very clearly what the objective is. And you can, here's their little graphic that shows you them all converging, all these technologies. In the integration and synergy of the four technologies, nano, bio, info, and cognitive. This is scary what this really is, and especially since you see it happening today. Now they follow up and do it again in 2013. And by the way, they do it again in 2016. They keep pushing this document back out as if it's some kind of new conversation, and they're keeping it in. It's leading to where we are now. It's what's happening. It's where the future is going, and we need to see that. Now, whether or not this is the only drive of what the COVID and everything else is doing, I don't believe that, or just one of the most leading factors. Don't miss that it's NIH, NASA, NSF, the EPA. I mean, it's USDA. I mean, seriously, like this is every facet of your life is being jammed into this future. We see it happening right now. But back in 2013 or even 2002, the average American had no idea this was even possible. And that was intentional. This is where it's all going. Now, bringing it to a small step back as we finish into what's currently happening in our lives and how they're going to drive you to this, as they're currently doing with everything else, fear, along with many other things. But just like all the other examples we've seen, like Event 201 and everything, the tests of planes flying into buildings and all the, even, Dark Winter, Crimson Contagion, all the other events we've shown you previously that led to this exact thing, and in fact, basically predicted exactly what would happen. In New York City, this has been reported on the 12th, non-toxic gas to be deployed in 100 plus New York City locations, including transit, in bio attack readiness test. Now, you know what they almost never do? They float these articles out there, but for the 80% of people in New York City that don't read these crappy news articles, they don't know it's happening, and they get terrified. And I think a lot of times that's what they're testing. You know, how you have these planes flying over and bombs exploding, and then it turns out there was a test they were scheduling in the middle of the city. And they're like, oh, we posted this on this one location. Didn't you see it? Of course they didn't see it. Even if it's on CNN breaking news, a lot of people won't see it. That's why you're supposed to announce these things to the locations, but they don't do that. Nonetheless, this is something that is alarming, even if you don't think that's a concerning thing. I mean, I think everyone should have the right to know, seeing as how they've done things like this in the past, like Operation Sea Spray in San Francisco, where they deployed a toxic gas that killed people for testing this exact purpose, making sure we're ready for a bio attack. That's not a joke. Just look up Operation Sea Spray. People died. They hid this from you. They sprayed it over the bay and killed people. Now, are we going to assume it was to make sure you were safe, or were they just testing it on you? Non-toxic gas to be deployed in 100-plus locations. They don't even tell you how many locations or where they all are. New York City's response plans for a chemical or biological attack will be put to the test in the coming weeks as part of a federal preparedness study. Now, what do you think this is meant to do? Why would they even advertise this to everybody? They want to keep in your mind that there's possible impending chemical or biological attacks, probably because there's a pending biological attack. Probably because that's just what they've done in Syria and other places where we're going to have one of these little tests to make sure we don't have and then it happens. It's everywhere. Just like 9/11, just like everything else, like Event 201, this is how this works. Now, is that guaranteed that's going to happen? No. Nonetheless, it's meant to keep it in your mind, to make you hyper aware that this is possible at any given moment. And that's why we need to go after people like, they would argue, me spreading misinformation that hides the truth. Like, that's how they're trying to frame this. The crossover with the bio attack, even with the cyber attack, cyber pandemic, it all ties back to how they're trying to frame this bigger picture. Now, so the test will be conducted on 5 separate days between October 18th and 29th. Now, I can promise you this is going to lead to some kind of a negative. People are going to be scared. They might even act out. People might get hurt. Throughout this entire 2-week process, are we really going to pretend like people are going to be fully aware this is ongoing, that it's happening? I mean, this is pretty crazy to me. It says the study simulates the aerosol release of biological agents in a densely populated urban environment. This is exactly what they want you to think is impending all the time. And this is another document that kind of does the same thing. Blackout warfare, high altitude electromagnetic pulse. Of course they use the term hemp. Ugh. just so self-serving, because hemp's a bad thing, right? Attack on the U.S. electrical power grid. This document goes over some pretty interesting things. Now, here are the key judgments. I just want to point out one main thing in here. First of all, the absurdity of them arguing nuclear hemp attack is part of the military doctrines, plans, and exercises of Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. These people are so ignorant and so obviously leaning into what they want you to think. Iran doesn't even have an active nuclear program in regard to producing nuclear weapons. In fact, what they do have is a civilian nuclear program, and even the IAEA has attested to this. Robert just wrote an article about this reasonably recently. Israel seeking to undermine Iran, the deal they just made with the IAEA, and the deal that they have, as well as the ongoing potential JCPOA reevaluation and everything. And the point is, in this article, he makes it very clear that they're lying to you. It's not hard to make clear. They've been telling you they're a month away from a bomb for about 15 years. It's ridiculous. But my point, first of all, is for them to include Iran as if Iran is regularly planning, exercising, and playing attacks with nuclear weapons they don't have is just stupid. Of course, they would argue that it's because they have them and it's secret and you're a shill for Iran. Well, I'm proving that they don't have it on my side, including with the, you know, nuclear agencies meant to investigate and prove whether or not they have it. That's all fake news, according to your opinion, because Biden says so, because government says so. Yeah, and I'm the one that's misinforming. But it goes on to say, ignorance of the military doctrines of potential adversaries and a failure of U.S. strategic imagination. Does that sound familiar? Think 9/11. As noted in military writings of potentially hostile powers, is setting America up for, wait for it, a hemp Pearl Harbor. Yep, just like Trump told you, or just like they said before 9/11 happened. What we need is a new Pearl Harbor to, you know, bring together the people that don't. Trump said the same thing. What we need is a new 9/11 kind of event. Maybe you could argue that was COVID-19. Didn't work for him that way. Either way, they're telling you, based on a lack of imagination, we need to prepare for this kind of a Pearl Harbor-like attack on our infrastructure, which leads right into the Great Reset and everything else they're rationalizing. All of this does. And I'll leave you with an article that Vanessa Beale, or an interview rather, that Vanessa Beale and I had. Evidence points to EMP in what mainstream media and DHS call new 9/11-like threat. Now, this is a while ago. We had this in November 6, 2020, but doesn't mean it's not still happening or could still happen, because they floated that out way back in 2020, and Whitney and I talked about it. The same thing. People said, oh, it didn't even happen. You're wrong. And now we're beginning to see it materialize. And this might be part of that whole process. Now let me play this clip for you as we recognize the crossover into the Great Reset, COVID-19 lockdown, climate change crossover.
Oh, well,
I read it before. I thought they were speaking. So it says, healthcare. Oh, okay. That's weird. I was like, I swear he spoke.
Here, let me play it for you.
Healthcare professionals have said to me, if you think COVID is bad, when it comes to climate change, you ain't seen nothing yet.
So why do we care what healthcare professionals have to say about climate change? Oh, that's because they're experts apparently today. Now they're always now we're back to trust healthcare workers, right? They're all heroes now because we're using them again, I guess. Trust women, right? Why does it matter what a nurse has to say about climate change? I don't even know why that makes any sense.
Healthcare professionals have said to me, if you think COVID is bad, when it comes to climate change, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's the grandmother of all health threats. COVID and climate change are compounding each other, and they're adding pressures on already weak health systems.
No. What's compounding it is their unjust, illegal actions, lockdowns, restrictions. I mean, that's what they're actually saying. That's what they mean. They just blame it on, cool, because COVID. We had to because that's the right move. No, it wasn't. All the data shows you the lockdowns were damaging, hurt people, killed more people, increased mental illness, increased teen suicide. Every part of your life is more dangerous because of lockdowns. They don't care about that, though. Right? So when they say that the COVID has led to this, no, their actions led to this under an unjust guise that COVID would lead to problems.
And staff. And it's why business adding pressures on already weak health systems and staff. And it's why business as usual is not an option.
And it's understand that means even if COVID goes away, make sure you take that point. Business as usual, because climate is not an option. Enter the transition to green climate lockdowns.
By now, we need to truly have health at the center of all our policies: energy, transport, agriculture, water, and food.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, guess what? That's what we were telling you was going to happen. Shocking. The biosecurity state. This is your health is the scapegoat into controlling every factor of your society, right? Apparently now health matters more than ever. Like, this is the only driving factor to everything he's talking about. What do you say? Agriculture, transport, water, food. Well, of course, I'm not even disagreeing that. I just don't agree with what their statement actually leads to. Health should have always been a primary factor. The fact that they just basically are admitting that your governments have never cared about what's healthy for you should be the biggest point to take away from that. But not to let them use that guise, the self-fulfilling, what they've created to then justify more unjust actions, which is what they've always done. Oh, and what I said is, get ready for the COVID model to be applied to fight climate change. Get ready for climate lockdowns and carbon passports. They weren't named green passes for fun. This was the plan. They told us this throughout the process if you were paying attention. And to finish off the Great Reset, the technocratic future, here is Boston Dynamics walking their dogs in D.C. this morning. And oh, how cute, a dog barks at it. Yeah, she just wants to play. Oh, that's so cute and funny. No, not at all. In fact, it's very alarming to me that this is being normalized. As I said, this is not quirky and humorous. That's the objective, to normalize what you're looking at. This is an alarming glimpse into a future where these technocratic tools, whether they be these robot dogs or whatever else they come up with, are utilized by the same powers unjustly controlling and destroying your life right now. It's happening whether you vote on it or not. I put vote in quotes because voting doesn't mean anything today, guys. That's a adult fairy tale. It's the adult version of Santa Claus that we need to wake up to, because they're manipulating you. And there's a thousand reasons we see. We only allow half of us to see it when it points to the other side of the two-party illusion. Only the Democrats are cheating and lying with their voting machines. Only the Republicans. No, they're all doing it, guys. And they always have. And it's always been an illusion. As we keep seeing, they don't care what you think. This is coming to your future, whether you vote on it or not. These same people that are destroying your life are going to be utilizing these tools in the way that they see fit. This is your future. This is your new normal, unless we do something about it. So join me in fighting back. Thank you for being here and continuing to fight, guys. See, 2 hour, 12 minutes. I went on too long for a few of those parts, as I'm sure you agree, but thank you for joining me today. Very important stuff to talk about. Now, I have Ben Swan coming on tomorrow. That's going to be a great interview. I'm really excited to talk to him because he really has been on the forefront for a lot of this stuff, talking about this at a time when nobody else was. Now, really, he's got a really great following on ice.media, which I've been failing to post on, which I need to continue to do. But what's interesting is I don't tend to see those sharing throughout Twitter and elsewhere, which shows you that he does have a large following on his platform, but that either they're censoring that content from ice.media, or they are, or I forget what the new name is, or it's not getting its reach. So I want to get him on here to talk about that platform, to talk about what he's seeing, and talk about how he's been censored, and, you know, just his perspectives on this, because I'm sure we differ in some ways. It's important that we all try to come together as best we can with the people that we think are being genuine and honest about their investigation. That's what matters most to me. As always, guys, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.